Blog Talk Radio. My sister's little boy came into the kitchen one evening while she was fixing supper, and he handed her a piece of paper he'd been writing on. And after wiping her hands on an apron, she took it in her hands and she read it, and this is what it said. For more in the yard, $5. If I make it up my own bed this week, $1. For going to the store, 50 cents. And playing with little brother while you went shopping, 25 cents. Taking out the trash, $1. And for getting a good report card, $5. And for raking the yard, $2. Total owed $14.75. Well, she looked at him standing there and expecting, and a thousand memories flashed through her mind. So she picked up the pen and turned the paper over, and this is what she wrote. For the 9 months I carried you, for the time and the tears and the cost through the years, there is no charge. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge.
Yes, welcome to the Cricket Show. It's Sunday, and when it comes around, we are so happy and proud to be bringing to you the Cricket Show. Online with me are Audley Watson, all the way from Central Florida, Murchis Nisbet in New York, where it's cold. Of course, we have Dennis Seat over in California. Welcome, lady and gent. Pleasant evening to you folks. And we also have, I think we have with us, is it Ivor or is it? Or is it?
Or Donna.
Or Donna. Okay, why don't you say hello, Mertrice, to the wonderful fans. They like to hear your voice earlier before
yes,
anything
starts.
Okay, Donna. Yeah, welcome. Mertrice, she is...
So she'll be in the
Mertrice,
background.
Yes.
Yes.
She's in the...
Yes. Here. Good evening, everyone. It's that Sunday evening, and welcome back to the Cricket Show. Relax and enjoy. Night to the panel.
Thank you so much for that. And of course, Audley, folks want to hear about Ma Ruby. I'm sure you'll give us a little brief on
okay,
that.
Okay, so good that. Evening to Mr. Fran. Good evening to you, Mr. Francis. And good evening to Dennis. And of course, we have Miss Donna over there and Miss Mertrice and all the rest of my fellow panelists. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to the listeners throughout the world. And yep, it's another Sunday evening. Yeah, and we're in Florida. Went up to about 79, 80 today. Tomorrow, just about the same. So I'll just try and send a little sunshine or no moonshine. The sun is gone right now, but we're going to try and bright up the evening as we talk about cricket, lovely cricket right here on the Cricket Show. Of course, my mom, she's still battling, you know, thank God she's still with us, and she hasn't gotten any worse, and would I say any better either. But she is still around. A couple of days ago, I was able to talk with her and FaceTime, you know, when Joan go. Mostly every day, sometime when she's there, I'm at work. But when she goes in the evening, then she'll set up a FaceTime and then we'll get to talk, my mom or so. So just continue your prayers, and we know that the Lord, you know, put us on the earth, and we are all given a time to leave, to stay and then leave. So if we just pray for God's will, and His will be done. So continue praying.
Yes, indeed. And Donna, I know your mom has celebrated a birthday this week, huh? Isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you tell us all about it and tell fans who are listening to you hello, and then we'll go right into a word of prayer.
Good evening. This is Donna from the beautiful island of Davis in the Caribbean.
We love it.
Donna, pull me up here. I said, pull me up here. Everybody else is hot, hot, hot.
And you.
Yes. They're hot, hot, hot here in the Caribbean.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, so, yes. Mother, we had a birthday on Friday. We had just friends and family over to celebrate her 92nd birthday. Everything went well.
That's good.
Yes.
Dennis, you first one okay. up. Oh, sorry.
Yes, Leon. Good afternoon to you, Leon, Audley, Donna, and of course, Mertrice. Welcome to another episode of the Cricket Show. Listeners can join us on the web, www.blogtalkradio.com, The Cricket Show, or you can join in by phone, 1-515-605-9850. That's 1-515-605-9850. Or send us an email, thecricketshow@comcast. Once again, we are happy that you are here to join us, and we welcome your contributions and comments. Back to you, Leon.
Yeah, thank you all for your contribution, all the panelists thus far. Just want to let you know that we're going to have a special guest come 7 o'clock this evening. Dennis will be having a word with one of his special friends over there in California. But before we go into the meat of things, let us give God thanks for us being here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for another opportunity that you have afforded us to have yet another show. We pray, Father, that you allow it to go on without any interruptions, Lord. We pray that you will allow the ones who make it possible continue to contribute their funds. And those who supported us morally also, Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you especially for the ones who made it come on every week and help in some way or the other. Some may not come on, but they give us encouragement to send greetings and best wishes. Lord, we pray especially for the ones who are sick, and namely my dear brother and friend, Dr. Leroy Lashley, has been hospitalized, discharged, and been admitted again. Lord, we pray for him as he goes through a series of ill health. Pray for Phil. We haven't heard from him for a while. We pray also for Connie Whitley, my niece, Ellie Matt, Everett Carter, Oliver Solomon, Mertrix's mother, Bobsy Nisbet, and of course, Murchish, Elkamita Willett, Ralston Otto, Wentworth Francis, and Kelbert Francis, both brothers who are also ill. Dennis Kelman, Joseph Gunthrop, Willis Daniel, and Mona Daniel, Fillmore Hallpipe, and of course, we also pray for Earl Stevens. He's on the mend, but we still ask your blessings on him as well. And my dear niece, Jeanette Hughes, Dr. Roger Brown, Virgil Francisson, and let us not forget our dear brother, Linford McKenzie. He has been under the mend for a long time, in and out of the hospital, Lord. We pray for him. We pray for those who have not expressed their concerns, Lord, but we know that you are holding them in your hands, Lord. You're praying for them. You're keeping them straight and healing them from the bottom of their feet to the top of their heads. Lord, we thank you that we are in a country that we can live happily, but You know, Lord, sometimes there's some controversies here and there, Lord. Heal this nation and heal the nations of the world, especially my country, Antigua, who is going through a period of campaigning for the elections, and all those other countries who are preparing for similar situations, Lord. We pray for them. Thank you for everything that you have afforded us. And let us have an awesome show this evening. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, well, we're going to start off with the brief outline of what we intend to cover, cricket-wise and otherwise. We should have some more from Dennis, starting with India versus Sri Lanka. And the match ended with a win for India. India having scored 228 for 5. And Sri Lanka replied with 137. That was the third T20 match, the series having been won by India 2-1. And a little later we'll give you the details of that, but let you know following the end of this match and start maybe tonight, the Sri Lanka will be taking on India in the first ODI on the 10th. That is first on the 10th, and we look forward to see the result of that as well. Australia played against South Africa in the third test match and was a great series, Australia having won 2 matches previously, but this third match ended in a draw. South Africa did well after Australia scored for 75 for 4, and Australia dismissed South Africa for 255, and in the second time around, South Africa scored 106 for 2. Match ended in a draw, and of course details that as follows. Pakistan, New Zealand, the match also ended in a draw, and the series ended in a draw as well. New Zealand 449 and 275 for 5, Pakistan 408 and 304 for 9, series drawn 1-1. Of course, we'll go into more details. We will cover the Ranji Trophy, which is in progress still, which started on December 13th and February 20th. We will also cover the Big Bash with the leaders Sydney Sixers are on top, having won 6 matches from their 10 matches played so far. And the International T20 League will start, well, it started January 13th and will go on till February the 12th. Some 34 T20 matches will be played. We'll cover that as well. And, of course, the International League, the T20 League over there, they'll be playing some 34 matches, T20 matches, starting January 13th and will go until February the 12th. The Bangladesh Premier League, we have the standing. We just called the top team, Sheffield Strikers. They have won 2 matches. After playing two as well. And the cricket schedule, we just want to let you know the West Indies will be touring. Well, I'll give you that in a little bit. West Indies are going to be touring South Africa and Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe, they will start, will play 2 test matches, January 28th and February 16th, while the West Indies tour of South Africa will begin on February 28th and will go until March 28th. They will be playing 2 test matches and 3 ODIs as well as 3 T20s. And then the West Indies, of course, will tour Zimbabwe, we'll talk about that as well. And this cricket schedule for the ICC women. ICC Under 19 will be starting January 14th and will run from January to January 29th. And then the Pakistan women will also be playing Australia January 16th to the 29th as well. West Indies T20 ladies series in South Africa, they'll be playing from the 19th of January to the 22nd of February. Then on the February, the ICC women Cup, World Cup, which starts February 10th, and will run until February 26th. And we'll tell you more about that. At least the under-19 team will also be playing. Yes, that is the first match, January the 19th. We look forward to talk more about that as well. We do have the South Africa League. And, of course, we'll tell you who are the players who are named. Oberman, who were picked from the West Indies, Odean Smith, Obed McCoy, Jason Holder, Kyle Mayers, Imar Paul, Johnson Charles, Romario Shepherd, and Alzari Joseph. They all will be playing in the league. They'll be rubbing shoulder with Jasper Archer and, of course, Nagiska, Rabada, and you name it. Just some six teams that will be playing in the league. And the league will consist of 33 T20s January the 10th until February the 11th. So we look forward to seeing that and with more details as we go along. But we have some more news from Dennis, so we're going to just pass it over to Dennis. Dennis, over to you.
Yes, thank you, Leon. And we will begin with the ICC news, ICC Players of the Month, those who have been nominated for Players of the Month of December. In the men's category, we have Babar Azam of Pakistan, and he scored during that month of December 523 runs at an average of 65.37, including 136 against England and 161 against New Zealand. Azam was previously nominated back in April 2021 and again in March 2022. A lot of consistency there for the Pakistan test player. Harry Brooks, England, he scored 468 runs with an average of 93.6. Brooks has scored three centuries in three test matches. The third nominee, male section, Travis Head of Australia. He scored 455 runs with an average of 91, and he's claimed also two wickets. On the women's side of the tournament, we have the nominees, Susie Bates of New Zealand. She scored 223 runs in ODI and T20 series. We have the second nominee was Charlie Dean of England. She's a leading wicket taker in ODI and T20 series, especially versus the West Indies recently, where a total of 18 wickets and economy of 2.92 and ODI 4.64 in the T20. Ashley Gardner was the third female nominee from Australia. She scored 115 runs with an average of 57.5 plus 7 wickets, an economy of 18.28. Earlier on, Leon mentioned the Bangladesh Premier League, that the BPL is set to begin January the 6th with the final on February the 16th after 46 games played in three separate locations. There are seven franchise teams. Reports are that administrative delays have resulted in few T20 superstars in this year's matches. However, Babar Azam, Mohammad Rizwan, and Shaheen Afridi are expected to be participating in the BPL. Other overseas stars expected include Kamfer Odoad, Brandon King of the West Indies, Karuna Ratne of Sri Lanka, and Van Meekeren, I think he is from the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, for the Bangladesh Premier League, this season play as competition from the Big Bash League in Australia, the Super Smash in New Zealand, the South African 20, a new tournament, and, of course, the UAE IL International League T20, all kicking off at the same time as the Bangladesh Premier League. So for cricket lovers, plenty to choose from. We hope that you can juggle your time and place so that you can participate in some way, even as a viewer. The UAE ILT20 is scheduled to start on the 13th of January. The six franchise teams are Abu Dhabi Knight Riders, Dubai Capitals, Gulf Giants, MI Emirates, Desert Vipers, and Sharjah Warriors. These will play a series of 34 matches due to be concluded with a final on February the 12th. However, under ICC rules, the big name superstar record performances will not be received in recognition from the ICC. The reason is that the UAE is not a full member of the ICC, and so the ICC will not acknowledge any T20 records. However great they may be, they will not go in the list A or otherwise. For records to be acknowledged, the organizing authority must have a List A status or is a full member, although in this case the ICC have sanctioned the event, but nonetheless the records, whatever they may be, will not be recognized by the ICC. Leon also mentioned the Women's T20 World Cup warm-ups, and the warm-ups are due to be played. That's sort of a tri-series match between India, West Indies, and South Africa, beginning on the 19th. The women's squad for the West Indies, we have Matthews, Alia Alain, Jermaine Campbell, Connell, Cooper, Chadian Nation, D.A. Fraser, Fletcher, Gajanabi, Grimmon, Henry, Ramharak, Schultz, Selman, Stephanie Taylor, and R. Williams. Those matches, the tri-series warm-up for the Women's T20 World Cup is due to be played, the tri-series beginning on the 19th of January. South Africa against India, and on the 21st, South Africa will play the West Indies, and so on until the matches are completed. The Women's T20 World Cup, the groups are Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh. And in Group B, we have England, India, Pakistan, West Indies, and Ireland. And those matches will kick off on the 10th of February, as Leon pointed out, all series culminating on the final on the 26th of February. Leon, I think that is all. We will also cover the Big Bash Leagues and the Super Smash. Back to you, Leon.
Okay, and over to Audley. Audley, you have a hot inside edge for us.
Oh, yes, I have an inside edge here. The inside edge for today, this player has played English counter cricket for about 15 years or more. And once was playing the match back in 1986, and England player, Paul Terry, he scored a fighting 50. And when he scored his 50, his teammates stood up and applaud and, you know, big celebration. But then at the other end, the man he opened with at the other end was sitting on, believe it or not, 202 not out. Opening partner was cheering for his 50. But this guy was at the other end, 202 not out. And he is a guy that scored a century on his debut in cricket. He scored a century in his 100 test match, and he also goes on to score a century in his 100th ODI, the only cricketer to have done so in all three. Debut, 100 in the 100th test, and 100 in his ODI. no other but the one and only Mr. Gordon Cuthbert Greenidge.
Gordon Greenidge. Mm-hmm.
Gordon
okay.
Greenidge. That's the
awesome.
Inside Edge for today, the one and only Gordon Greenidge. That's the Inside
yes,
Edge.
Indeed. Okay. Any comments?
Leon,
go ahead.
Leon, before we go further, I think I have an apology to make. And this is in last week's show, we were discussing the ICC performances, the men's and women's cricketer of the year.
Yeah.
And in the group, the men's ODI of the year, remember we had Babar Azam, who had scored 679 runs in nine matches. Adam Zampra, 30 wickets in 12 matches. Raza, 645 runs and 8 wickets in 15 matches. And here is where my apology comes in, because Jai Hope was also nominated in that category. And I think I had a blank session that day because I did not recall a Jai Hope performance, which says a great deal about how impressed we have been with the West Indies in this past year. And Jai Hope had actually scored a magnificent or a mammoth total of 709 runs in 21 matches. So I'm at a loss to understand how I could have forgotten, overlooked, or missed Jai Hope's 709 runs in 21 matches. I mean, more runs than Azam, although Babar Azam's 679 came in nine matches. So at any rate, I offer an apology to Jai Hope for asking the question last week, what did he do to meet ODI?
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Of the year. All right, but now we know. So
yes, now you know.
Thank you.
Gentlemen and ladies, I just have a personal observation, Dennis. Because if you notice so many tournaments are in being played right about now, what is noticeable? That a number of West Indian players are abroad playing in these tournaments, right? We have called a few from the South Africa League, and of course, soon the IPL is going to absorb some, and some is going to be in that T20 international over there in, I think, Dubai, and of course, they're in the Sri Lanka League. No, is it the Sri Lanka League, right, over there? But if you notice...
That's the International League in Dubai.
Yeah, but there is one in Bangladesh as well. Is it coming up shortly?
Yeah, Bangladesh is going on presently.
Presently.
Bangladesh is going on along with
Bangladesh,
the
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka and Bangladesh. Yeah,
Bangladesh are going,
going
on,
on right now.
Which
West Indian
is in the Bangladesh group?
I didn't have that at hand, but... I'm just making my point, is that all these tournaments are playing abroad, and what is the West Indies doing? No tournaments are going on, except in Antigua, they have some T10 matches that are being played. And I say, dear, like one of our problems, because we're not playing enough cricket. We're definitely not playing. All the players have gone, but what has happened to the players who have not been able to pick up a contract? Couldn't we have had something arranged for them to do? And
Leon,
at least, talk to me.
Why, you saying that couldn't we, meaning couldn't the West Indies have organized the tournament for them? But
because the players are gone?
No, Leon, I think, if I'm understanding...
That's the window, that's given to them, that they can go...
I'm not talking about those who have gone. Those who have gone are gone. But other players who are left back. They're dormant,
Are you suggesting, Leon, that possibly you find some work for those guys to do to keep in shape? Or
exactly,
are you suggesting
or
that
improve. Those youngsters who are not in the lineup to get a contract. Why we couldn't
I guess the individual territories, I guess the individual countries may have their thing going, you know. It like in the case of the Windward Leeward Island, they could have something going in the meantime.
Exactly.
But
yes,
you know, Jamaica, you're gonna have the Senior Cup going on, and although you have a lot of soccer going, Major League soccer going on right now. But then the soccer group is different from the cricket. They are all run together simultaneously. Yeah.
But that's my concern. Well, and yours? What do you say, Dennis?
Well, you know, I understand what you're saying, and also that Audley's pointed out that the Senior Cup would be going on in Jamaica. But at the same time, the Senior Cup will be going on without perhaps the likes of Rovman Powell and others who would normally be in the Jamaica.
That's exactly the point, Dennis, because those other players will get a chance to put their hands up.
Exactly.
They're not in that league as yet to get the big contract. So they will start to put roots down that eventually may lead to the same thing for them.
Yes. I defer to you on that one. You are very correct, you know, that, yes, more tournament in the islands at this time of the year would probably be a great benefit towards helping
to the guys who have not made
improve.
It. Well.
So
why don't you kick off with something else, Dennis, while I get hold of our brother, Virgil?
So well, it's 6:30, just about Walter Henry.
It's time for Audley.
6:31.
Yes, so why don't I jump? Bring in Audley. Happy birthday to you, Audley. You're still celebrating, right?
Yes. The Ivory. Yeah. And by the way, I spoke to Mr. McKenzie.
Okay. Milodon. Now it's time for Audley. Come on in, Audley.
All right. There's a sound in the background you can hear. It's time for the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. It is time of the evening when you can give us a call. You can call us anytime, but particularly where the birthday is concerned, now is the time you can call to say, hey, hi, hello. You can give us a call at 515-605-9850. And we give the birthdays an occasional footnote as we go along. So once again, welcome to the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Okay, so look at up top here. We have Mr. Ivor Henry's sister, Joycelyn, she is celebrating a birthday today. Hey, Miss Joycelyn, happy birthday to you. And you also shared a birthday with Mr. Elvis Presley. Yeah, he was born on the 8th of January back in 1935. So I guess I will be coming in a little later to taking up her assist. Okay, cricket. Josh Hazlewood, Australia, of course, and Joyce Goldsmith, they are celebrating today as well. Desmond Chumney from Canada, Charlie Shillington from Ireland, Jack Isdan and Johnny Waddle from England, Shoaib Mohammed from Pakistan, and we have Shamika Ramanaike, from Sri Lanka, and Isla Gunaratne, also from Sri Lanka, Bruce Mitchell from South Africa, Dennis Smith from New Zealand, play for New Zealand, born in Australia. And, of course, the man in which we named the 8 to 9 o'clock period in his name, Lawrence Yagaro, is celebrating his birthday today also, the 8th of January, 1949. Yagaro. And from Zimbabwe, we have Tino Mayongo. For the 9th, we have Jazana Murchison's niece. Jazana Murchison's niece celebrating tomorrow, and happy birthday when it comes, my dear. And we have another birthday here. Spanish golfer Sergio Garcia was born back in 1980. Sean Paul, entertainer out of Jamaica, international entertainer Sean Paul, celebrates his birthday tomorrow as well. And tomorrow will be 1 year since Bob Saget, you remember the comedian, and, you know, Full House, I think, one of the dad with the many children. Mr. Dad. It will be 1 year since he died. Just imagine. It's like it was last week, Bob Saget. It will be 1 year since he died. Back to cricket now. So Jimmy Adams and Garrett Breeze, both out of Jamaica. And we have James Cartley, David Smith, out of England, Gary Sneed from New Zealand, Don Taylor from South Africa, Shi Lama from Hong Kong, Craig Wishart from Zimbabwe, Harry Soil from Pakistan, and we have Jehab Mubarak out of Sri Lanka. For the 10th of January, we have Romario Daniel, the grandson of Ivor. So Ivor have to be on the show. He's coming in, man, his grandson. Yep. Romario Daniel. Yes. Ivor's grandson in Nevis will be celebrating birthday. Mr. George Foreman. Yep. Born back in 1949. And Leon's brother, Dwayne Francis, would be celebrating a birthday also on the 10th. And as well as New Zealand became the fifth nation to play Test cricket back in 1930 versus England, and England won by 8 wickets. So here we go, birthdays again. Hugh Monty Thurlow. I want you to remember that name. Hugh Monty Thurlow. Because he is the man that deprived the great Dan Bradman of not being the only cricketer to score 300 runs, three triple centuries in this cricket. With Bradman on 99, Thurlow ran himself out, leaving Bradman on 299 not out. And last man ran himself out. So Hugh Monty Thurlow. Okay, and he's from Australia, of course. From England, we have Len Goldwell. From the United States, we have Mubarak. Oh, he was born in Sri Lanka, but apparently he played for the United States. I have him twice. Johan Vandermaat and Lizard Williams. Lizard, L-I-Z-A-A-D, Lizard Williams from South Africa. We have from the West Indies, Tyrell Gordon out of Trinidad and Tobago, Ashmed Need from Guyana. From New Zealand, we have Delwyn Brownlee, Mohammed Shahzad, and Sharafuddin Ashraf from Afghanistan. For the 11th of, we have Everett, Miss Bertrie's brother, Everett. He'll be celebrating on the 11th, yes. And Leon's niece, Erica Francis. So Leon is big in January, as we know. She'll be celebrating on the 11th. And Mr. George Headley, the West Indian immortal cricketer, he made his test debut back in 1930 against England, which he scored 21 and 176 on debut. Rahul Javid from India. We'll be celebrating then, and he has the world record for most catches as a non-wicket keeper in Test cricket, 210 catches, the world record. And by the way, I hope he gets to play a couple more Test matches, but Rahane is sitting on 99 catches as a fielder. Rahane, 99. Okay, Jack Fiddle from South Africa, Johnny Haynes from New Zealand, and we have Frank Shugg and Mark Wood from England, Paula Price and James Franklin from Australia, Rory McCann from Ireland. And for the 12th, we have Smoking Joe Frazier, former World Heavyweight Champion, was born on the 12th. He left us in 2011. And Dwayne Francis, Leon's brother. Leon again. Dwayne Francis, Leon's brother, was also born on the 12th of January. Okay, so, and Cardinal's cousin, Cornelia Mills, she was born also on the 12th of January. So Sir Richard Richardson celebrates along with Ralph Liggett from Barbados and Miles Biscombe from St. Vincent, all three West Indians. Dick Moult, Una Wickham from New Zealand, Moat was the first New Zealand cricketer to record 100 test wickets in test cricket. Gavin Rennie from Zimbabwe, Paul Wilson umpire, Cathy Smith from Australia, and we have Curly Vishal from the Netherlands, Edmund Hinckley from Kent, and he's the first record known recorded in the history for the first person to have taken all 10 wickets in a first-class match, and that is back in 1848. Alistair Evans from Scotland. And for the 13th, we have singer Boris Gardner out of Jamaica. And we have cricketer Pakistan, Kimran Akmal, wicketkeeper. German Lawson, Gavin Tong, Lawson Jamaica, Gavin Tong, Antigua. Caroline Atkins, Amy Ellen Jones, England. We have Dirk Rene Farrell, female cricketer, and Gary Brent. Farrell is from Australia, and Gary Brent from Zimbabwe. Finally, on the 14th, we see Mr. Francis appear again. This is his week. Oh, boy. Mr. Francis, yes, your darling wife would have been celebrating on the 14th, yes. The 14th of January. Miss Unice, yes, she would have been celebrating her birthday, and it is her birthday. She's just not here to celebrate with you, with us at this time. And also your brother-in-law, Paul Winter, died on the same date, the 14th. Oh, 14th of January, 29th. Mm-hmm. Next year I have to skip some of these, Leon. It's too much. Yeah, I have to skip some. And where Donna is concerned, we have Reham Morton. I'm not quite sure if it's Donna's niece, but I know it's concerning Donna. She'll come and clear it up. And Tisara, Cardinal's daughter, Tisara, yes, she also celebrates on the 14th of January. So back to cricket, Joe Darling from Australia. Yeah, the first man to hit a six in cricket. Some of you guys may be hearing this over and over, because if you are a regular listener to the program, you know you'll be hearing this, but we have the listeners coming in from time to time, and so they will be hearing for the first time. So Joe Darling, yeah, first player to hit a six in test cricket, and that was 21 years after the first test match was played, because the first, in those days, you hit a four. Four was always running down to the rope or to the edge of the boundary, and it's four. When you hit the ball over the ropes, as we have it today, that would have been counted as five. And then to hit a six, you have to hit the ball completely out of the ground. And that was when Darling hit the ball completely out of the ground for the first six in test cricket. And that was in 1898. Darren Ganga out of Trinidad and Tobago, George Ballestone from Jamaica, and Johnson Charles out of St. Lucia, will be celebrating on the 14th. Ken Higgs, Paul Terry, spoke a little about him earlier, Paul Terry, and from England, they'll be celebrating also. Tariq Mohammed from the United Arab Emirates, and we have Bess Mooney, female cricketer, out of Australia, Donald Beard from New Zealand, Richard Levy from South Africa, from Scotland, Paul Huffman, and that's where I'll draw the curtains for here, Leon. Back to you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much, Audley. You just bring back some dates to me, my memory. Thank you for that. How about you, Virgil? Come on in, my brother.
Yeah, good afternoon, good evening to all the panelists, and good evening to everyone all over the world. I'm not too sure. I don't think I have any birthday for this month, unless I hardly remind me of some, but I'm not too sure. None that I can remember right now. Okay.
We also have, Ivor, he got some time off, so he decided to spend some time with us. Come on in, Ivor.
Oh, yes, good evening.
Donna beat you now.
And ladies... Yeah, I know Donna is hoovering around. I was listening from her, as a matter of fact. Of course, yes, birthday, birthday, birthday. Audrey is going to start with you, because you have to celebrate all of the months. Yes, Mr. McKenzie followed you, following this, so we know we have to remember you, both of you, if nobody else. Of course, Mother Teresa celebrated on Friday. So, yeah, it was a big one. I spent a long time on the phone with her, so she had a good time. And my sister, yes, she's celebrating today, Joycelyn, and we toured over there in Montserrat, Simon's territory. Simon, there it is. Montserrat being heard all the world over. Yes, my grandson too, Mario, he is having a birthday as well. So just want to say happy birthday to all the folks. Yesterday, Leon had a granddaughter as well, Miss Maz. He had a birthday as well. So we want to say on this The Cricket Show, happy birthday to her also. And we know we'll serenade Mrs. Francis on Saturday. When a birthday will be on the Caribbean Global Voices, but I'm going to jump the gun and say happy birthday to her, heavenly birthday, that is. Can't remember anybody else now. Donna might come in and refresh my memory.
Right. Why don't we bring in Donna? Donna, come on in. Give us the rest and tell us about Mother Brown. Are you muted, Donna? Okay, well, Dennis, how about you until Donna comes?
Leon, thank you, but I have no immediate birthday at this time, but I'd like to take this opportunity to wish all those celebrating, whether it be a birthday or an anniversary, wish them well and happiness and enjoyable time for those who are able to at this time of the year. Thank you, and back to you, Leon.
Yes, indeed. Okay, let me come in because I have a lot of remembrance to talk about. Paul Winter, my brother-in-law, he passed away in 2019 on the 14th. You'll miss him so much. And then my Aunt Irene, how could you forget that, Audley? 102 years old on the 16th of January.
You see, I don't read 16th as yet.
Okay. And how could you get this to celebrate the passing the same all month long? My dear son, Justin, he went along to be with the Lord, of course, on the 24th. So 14th, 16th, and 24th all left us 2019 in close proximity. May they all rest in peace. We'll see them someday, hoping to meet them in good health and telling me how to go move around that heavenly place. Want to just say hello and a happy birthday to my brother, Dwayne Francis, one of the best scorers I've seen. He scored so neat. I think David will have to give him some little tune-up to make him a little better, but he was a great scorer. Then we have, of course, my wife. She would have been another year old come the 14th of January. And then, of course, Sir Richie Richardson, my brother and friend. We want to wish him Richard Richardson. And, of course, Erica Francis, my other niece, and Amaya, my great niece. I had the distinct pleasure of welcoming some five or six nieces and great nieces in the week.
Donna's joined us, Leon.
Yes, I'll bring her in a moment. Okay. I have my great nieces, and I have so many great nieces, it has to be up in the high 30s. All my 15 siblings have children, and their children have children. And believe you me, I know they all will be celebrating. One day we hope that we can join together to have one massive celebration. We're going to just rent out the whole of the Marriott over there in Orlando and have a big fest. And that's when I win the lotto, but nevertheless. So thank you all. And I thank my brothers and sisters so kind to me and my nieces. They were so helpful in all my losses and celebrations. So we're grateful for them. My father did well, and the children are also doing well. No, we hear Donna. We can bring her back in now. Donna, you're in. Come on in, Donna. Donna, you're in.
Hello, hello, hello. Yes,
you're in. Mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
Yes.
I've made a mistake,
yes,
right?
I have my cousin jointly. She's celebrating yes. today.
Yes. What's the name?
Okay, Montserrat.
Name.
And then?
No, she said Joycelyn.
And
she said Joycelyn.
Oh, Joycelyn, okay.
Joycelyn,
and the 10th.
Tweet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Tweet,
okay. The 8th, she is celebrating today. And I have the
mm-hmm.
Mario, my cousin there, he's celebrating on the 10th. And I was saying
oh.
that I have my mother who celebrated on Friday, her
19th
birthday.
Yes.
Can't forget that. We have to celebrate her.
All right,
and
we
the,
do.
The 4th, Womario had a sister who celebrated on the 4th of January. And those
okay.
are my birthdays for today.
Thank you so much.
What,
anyone
what about
else?
Martin? What about Rehan Martin?
Rehan Martin? That's where my cousin,
oh,
Nakam Martin.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes. I completely forget her.
Wow.
A year has gone. Okay. Yeah, wow.
And she's the 14th
okay, yes,
on Saturday. Yeah. And that's a Saturday.
On Saturday, God's willing.
Saturday
yes. And then you,
okay.
Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Let's do a number for all of them. Those who are celebrating in heaven and those
oh,
who
oh,
are celebrating in earth.
I have two.
Okay,
I
go
have
on.
Just two, my friend Carl mm-hmm. Mitchell up there in Atlanta. He's in Powder Spring. Carl celebrating his birthday today. And another brother of mine, brother in the Lord, Brian Burke, he's up here, further up somewhere in Central Florida. He's celebrating today as well. So a big shout out to both celebrating today. That's it.
Okay, thank you so much. And I'm going to play one tune for all of them. They're going to do a number. They're going to do a number either here or up there. And may God bless them. And may their souls rest in peace. Congratulations to those who are celebrating birthdays. And I'm just going to bring in, is it the troubadours out of Barbados? They're going to do a number.
Listen, Griner, I can do a number.
You're going to break them up?
Yes.
But you know you ain't doing it, you know.
I know that.
You want to get out of here.
I can do that.
We jumpin'.
for those who have left us.
Here we are again. That old familiar place where the winds will blow. No one ever knows the time or place. Don't cry.
One correction, I think I did say my friend Carl is in Powder Spring, Atlanta. About Atlanta is in the suburbs. Powder Spring in Georgia. And
Georgia.
I would know that Powder Spring is out. It's not really in Atlanta. So just that correction. Okay, so just let me say thank you for joining us here on the Cricket Show. And, of course, the Walter Henry birthday anniversary. I just want to give a big shout-out to all who have been listening on each one, tell one. Want to give a big shout out to all the listeners, especially right here in Nevis, and you are going on strong there in 2020. So if you have heard anything that piqued your interest, you can give us a call, 515-605-9850, and we'll entertain you. When you call, you listen to the prompt, and you know, you put that one, and then you'll be brought into the conversation. So this has been the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Join us next Sunday, 6:30, God willing. Once again, we'll do it all over again, the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Back to you, Leon.
Thank you so much, Audley. And now we're going to turn it over to Audley with our special, not Audley.
Not Audley.
But Dennis. Dennis with our special guest. Take it away, Dennis.
Yes. Thank you, Leon, and thank you to the rest of the panelists. I want to offer a warm welcome to Mihir Gandhi, a friend and previous guest of the Cricket Show. Mihir is the former president of the Southern California Cricket Association, one of the many roles he has held in his cricket career. More recently, Mihir has taken on a voluntary role in the USA Masters Cricket. Today, Mihir has joined us and promises to give us some news, information, results, and whatever updates he has on the Masters Cricket program. Thank you, Mihir, and welcome to the Cricket Show once again. You're on the air.
Thank you, Dennis. I appreciate it. A very good afternoon to you, Leon, Audley, Jatin Bhai, if he's on the call, all the panelists and all the wonderful listeners. So thank you for having me back on the call again, and a pleasure to be back with all of you guys. I believe it's been almost close to a year since the last time we spoke, and at that time it was kind of like all the excitement that was building up for the over 60 Masters Veterans World Cup that was going to happen in Australia last September. So happy to be back on the show and share some of my experiences with all of you wonderful listeners here.
Well,
so this was kind of like the inaugural World Cup, as you might recall, that we were going to participate in Australia. It was from September 2nd to the 15th, but obviously we had to fly in a little bit earlier to kind of like acclimatize us, play some friendly matches, do some practice over there, get used to the conditions. So we spending about 3 weeks in Sunshine Coast, which is north of Brisbane. Unfortunately, the venue did not live up to its name of Sunshine Coast, as possibly it must be raining maybe 5 days or 7 days in a whole year, but it rained during the time that we landed over there. So so it was a little bit of a spoiler there. But I have to commend the organizers and the participants, because everyone rallied around and worked on kind of like juggling the schedule around. We did manage to kind of like get all the games in that we had planned originally, even though there was some washout initially. But it was kind of like a wonderful tournament overall and a great experience, once-in-a-lifetime experience, I would say. And I will be happy to kind of like share some more and answer any questions that you might have.
So we take it that there are some master's program that had taken place in the Caribbean, I think it was. Is that the program where the U.S. Masters was in the final? Was that the one in the Caribbean or was that the one in Australia?
Okay. No, I think it's two different things that we are talking about here. So the World Cup that was for the O60, that was the one we played in Australia. And as you might recall, there were 12 countries that participated in that one. And U.S. being a small kind of like a baby in the group, I would say, we had kind of like a very, very kind of like a squad that was very excited to be a part of it. And I'm happy to say that we all rallied around each other, played some good cricket. The conditions over there were awesome. The grounds were just something to kind of like really look forward to playing in a foreign country. And we did pretty good, actually, as a country. As you might recall, I had an opportunity to captain Team USA this time around. And we did manage to end up at number 5 in the pool at the end of the group games, basically, which was we were tied with the rest of the world and Wales, which was pretty good. And we were, in fact, 1 point ahead of India, which was kind of like a pleasant surprise for us in a way. And we did manage to beat the mighty West Indies and South Africa, which was a big feather in our cap in this tournament in the O60. Dennis, the one that you are mentioning was the Caribbean Cup or the Big Men's Cricket Cup, Big Men's Caribbean Cup that was played in, I believe, November, and that was for the over 50. And I'm happy to say that Team USA did win that one also, so it was kind of like a wonderful tournament and a great year for Masters all around. So,
great. So what you're telling us is that the USA section of the Masters program have two teams, one in the over 50s group and one in the over 60s group.
Right. that is there. And in fact, last year we also introduced the over 40 group. So they will be kind of like visiting Pakistan this year in September, I believe, August-September frame, for a World Cup that will be played there. And our over 50 team will be going to South Africa in February to play in the World Cup for the over 50. So a lot of things going on in the three different age group categories, over 40, 50, and 60 right now, with over 70 being kind of like on the burner right now.
So can you share with us then, what are the upcoming programs other than the Australia, the South Africa, the three you've just mentioned? Anything coming up here in the United States this year?
So in the United States, we will have some regional tournaments, open tournaments, and national championships and things like that, which will be played either in Los Angeles or in Houston. 2023 definitely has a lot of cricket all around with USA Cricket Minor League, Major League happening. Major League will be happening in Dallas. So that is something that everyone is looking forward to in July. And coming to the immediate near future, we will be going to Barbados on January 30th through February 10th to play in a six-team tournament there. Again, this is like the Big Man Caribbean Cup for over 60. And England, Australia, USA, rest of the world, and Invitation 11, that will be kind of like playing in that tournament there. And after that, some of us are planning to visit Trinidad as well to play a couple of social games, friendly games, whatever. And we are excited because we might be playing in the Brian Lara Stadium over there. So kind of like a lot of cricket happening in 2023 and a lot of things to look forward to.
Good. Well, we appreciate your telling us, sharing with us. Can you, you know, not to brag, but tell us who... which international stars you have come across in this over 60s, over 50s matches that you've played so far? Just name drop a little for us.
Right. So actually in 2022, we had multiple tournaments here in US. And then, as you know, we just talked about the World Cup there. So when we had the tournament in Houston, Colin Croft had come as a player. And thereafter, he became an ambassador for the over 60 West Indies team. So that was kind of like a big name right there. And when we went to the World Cup in Australia, Mike Proctor had come as the coach for the South African team. So that was a very big thing, kind of like, and a pleasure to meet him and chat with him a little bit there when we were in Australia. So those were the names. And other than that, I mean, there are cricketers who have played real good cricket at the first-class county level and Ranji Trophy level and things like that. So... kind of like very good players, and more importantly, kind of like it gave us a chance to kind of like meet with individuals from all over the world, make new friends, which is rather difficult at this age and kind of like at this stage in life. But a wonderful thing, because cricket being the common binding factor brought us together, and the camaraderie kind of like took us out of the field and kind of like made us kind of like get to know the other people who we are in contact with, and kind of like got to know them. So it's a wonderful kind of like all around win-win situation, the way I look at it, basically.
So it is obviously certainly interesting and a pleasure for you, for the over 60s, to be traveling around. How is the greetings from the local communities that you're coming into contact with? Are you welcome there? And tell us about that type of, you know, engagement with locals when you travel.
Right. No, it's a good question. And obviously, kind of like, I mean, when we are visiting or when we are hosting, obviously, kind of like we welcome the other team with open arms, and the individuals kind of like are very friendly. And likewise, it is reciprocated when we also go there. There's no reason for anyone to really hold back in that sense, because we all kind of like have reached a stage in life now where kind of like being competitive is good, being good, playing good cricket is all important and everything. But kind of like just the being social, being civil, being kind to each other, getting to know the other person, kind of like, I mean, the rivalry, so to say, is left on the field. And after that, it's all kind of like just good friends, people singing, dancing together. Doesn't matter who has won, who has lost. like just to give you an example, at the end of the day when we played rest of the world in the World Cup tournament, we lost the game, but on the way back in the bus, both the teams were kind of like singing and kind of like just enjoying the moment together. I mean, there was nothing, no hard feelings or ill feelings in any way. And it was just a great time. We had like a dinner together as well and got to know the other people kind of like much closer off the field. And it's kind of like a great feeling because at this point, kind of like you just kind of like want to kind of like get to know more people and kind of like just be kind of like nice to each other. I mean, we have seen a lot in life and everyone is fighting their own battles, so to say. So why add to the stress and why add to the kind of like anxiety in any way? Just be nice and be good to each other. That's what it's all about.
Well, thank you so much. From my perspective, I'm wondering if anyone on the panel
yes.
have any questions for
yes, Mr.
Mayor.
Gandhi.
Yes.
Indeed. I want to know if how these teams qualify to attend the Masters Club World Cup, and were they limited to a number of players from each country? And,
very good question, Leon. Yes.
And the ICC, are they recognizing this tournament? Yes, thank you for that.
Yeah, sure. No, very, very good questions and good observations that you have kind of like just brought up. So essentially, kind of like to participate in the Masters or the Veterans cricket, basically, there are, each country has their own kind of like local chapters or local organizations that are kind of like running the organization, so to say. And in India, kind of like there's, I think, more than one actually. So different regions have different opportunities to participate. Coming to the countries, how they are selected or how they are invited to participate in the World Cup, there is the organizing committee that kind of like reviews the teams from different parts of the world. And as I mentioned earlier, we had 12 teams in the last World Cup or the inaugural World Cup that we just finished. The next one that is coming up will be in 2024 in Chennai, India. And at that time, they have kind of like invited two more teams. So that will make it 14 teams total as it stands. It could change as time progresses. But as it stands, 14 teams will be participating. And it's up to the organizers and the teams that are part of the tournament to kind of like vote in or vote out kind of a thing on the teams that will be participating. So it is structured in a way, but it is pretty easygoing and there is like no hard and fast things. Obviously, you have to follow the rules about the kind of like the age requirements and the residency requirements and things like that. So like just for example, for over 60, you have to have completed for 2023, by December 31st, 2023, you should have been 60. So if that is the case, then you qualify for the over 60 group. And for residency, they have some other requirements, like you have to have either a passport or citizenship or a residency in that country for 3 years, or it should be your country of birth, and so on and so forth. So there are some requirements, kind of like, but I mean, all the cricket-playing countries, major countries that we know of, they are part of the Masters and the Veterans World Cup at this point. So,
thank you so much. I'm sure Audley has a question for you too. Audley?
Yes. Yeah. My question is, I heard you mention that you're about to start the over 40 competition. So I was just thinking that our friend Dennis will finally be able to participate.
There you go. It's just for Dennis that we have started that.
Finally able to participate. Okay. Were there player of the series named for the tournament?
Yeah, so actually, just to recap it a little bit, kind of like out of the 12 countries, Pakistan won the tournament, and they did a fantastic job all through the tournament. So congratulations to them. They were really kind of like good chemistry, well-balanced team, consistently performed well, especially with the bat, which gave the bowlers obviously the room to kind of like defend that totals. In fact, the Australia-Pakistan semi-finals was a very exciting game which went down to the wire and Pakistan won that one, obviously. So they went on to play New Zealand in the finals and that they won rather easily, I would say. But so kind of like Pakistan won that one, and then there were recognitions for the player of the tournament, the best batsman scoring the highest number of runs, highest wickets taken, best bowler, and best fielder, and so on and so forth. I don't have the names off the top of my head right now, but they were all kind of like wonderful because they performed consistently and excelled in kind of like each department that they won the awards for, basically. So, yeah.
Okay, one more question. Any idea what the par score were? Right? You like, you know, idea consistently, the 150s, the 160s, or, you know...
The scores,
really?
Yeah, I would say kind of like typically 175 was the average. Sometimes, obviously, kind of like depending on the pitch and because of the rains and all that stuff, there were some low-scoring games. In fact, without naming names, the lowest total that I recall that we had was 18 all-out for a team. And, that was rather kind of like a one-sided game there. But I would say 175 was probably the average that we would kind of like say that team scored plus minus, yeah. It was 45 over games also, keep in mind. These were 45 over games.
Okay.
So it was pretty brutal because, I mean, just to recap it again, because of the change in schedule, we had like three games back-to-back on three consecutive days. And we played like seven games in 9 days. So it was pretty kind of like grueling and brutal on the body. In fact, when we were young in our 30s and 20s, we never played so much cricket that we did in the 60 age group, which was rather kind of like surprising that we surprised ourselves that we could do it.
So I can just imagine that the stump mic was picking up a lot of squeaking joints.
Well, we had it oiled properly. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And yeah, so that's where we are.
I'm sure we have another question from Ivor and one from Virgil. Ivor first.
Yes, of course. Well, you mentioned the 45 over matches.
Mm-hmm.
What are the field dimensions in terms of meters? Do we still have the 60-yard plus, or are they bringing them in shorter for the foggies?
Yeah, no, kind of like that's a good question, and we wish they had made it shorter. That would have been more interesting for the batters, especially kind of like to hit the boundaries and sixes. But it was the same measurements as what we have in international cricket. So no changes were made there. And Australian grounds are wonderful. The outfields are awesome. But they are pretty big grounds also. So kind of like that was kind of like definitely something that we were hoping would be kind of like adjusted according to the age group category at this point. But it was not done. So we played according to the international measurements and calculations. So, yeah.
Okay. I know you have different playing conditions. Runners are still on the lob box, and you can have it in your playing condition. Are runners allowed in these matches or the following day, the modern ICC rules where they're taking out runners?
If I understood the question that you're saying, what changes were allowed in kind of like the playing rules and regulations?
Yeah, the playing conditions. We know you can still have runners to run for a batter, an injured batter.
So again, we had the same things kind of like where a runner would be allowed only if there was an injury on the field and things like that. But one good change that we had was that you can name a squad of 12. Only 11 will bat, but the 12th person can bowl. So that was kind of like a plus because obviously kind of like that helps out the fielding side a little bit. But otherwise, pretty much kind of like all the ICC rules are followed in the World Cup as well for the Masters or the Veterans Cricket. And no other major exceptions that come to mind, really. No free hits. Yeah, that was one thing. No free hits were allowed, and other than that, pretty much kind of like the same rules applied. Yeah.
What about wide bowling? To bowl the ball down the leg side all day long, would they have to re-bowl it? Or I know in some competition.
Yes. Anything down the leg side, umpire will call it a wide. Correct. No grace or no one leg allowed. Basically, no one ball allowed on the wide leg side for wide.
Okay. I know in the last ball stand, you know, the first one, you'll have to re-bowl it. And after that, they just add two ones. But you don't re-bowl the ball. Okay, well, I think that's it.
Yeah.
For a bowl, imagine, you still have That's
yes,
all.
Same rules, kind of like maximum number of overs per bowler, all that applies, correct.
Mm-hmm. You're going to hear from Virgil. Virgil, you have a over 60 question?
Yeah, this is Virgil talking to you from the most beautiful city in Florida, in the beautiful city in Lauderhill, where we have the, I guess I'd say, the first international cricket ground. My question to you is, you said that there's a tournament in Pakistan sometime September or something like that.
Yeah.
How many teams will be in that tournament and the name of the team that will be in that tournament?
So the over 40 tournament was announced last August or September, I believe, and it will be conducted in Pakistan around August, September. It'll be for the over 40 age group. I don't have the number of teams or the names of the teams at this point, but my guess is that pretty much all the teams that participated in the inaugural World Cup for the over 60 and the teams that will be playing in the over 50 World Cup coming up in South Africa, they will be participating there. Unless the country has some issues in getting visas for Pakistan, which I'm not aware of, I think they will be able to make the kind of like exceptions of getting the visas for the players to come in and play if they so desire.
Okay.
Dennis?
Yes, no, William. Unless there are any other questions, then I'd like to take this opportunity to extend my thanks to Mihir for coming on the show. And we look forward to hearing from him again at some time in the future after he's completed some of these wonderful tours that they're participating in the over 40s. And thank you once again.
Thank you, Dennis. Really appreciate it. Pleasure to be on the call. Did someone have one more question?
Yes, I have a question.
No, I think Donna wants to.
Are the games being aired by radio or television?
The games were being streamed. So Australia local TV was showing it on their channels there, and we had a YouTube channel as well on which these games were being streamed, and they will be streamed in the future. So kind of like there is a lot of different ways of watching the games.
Do you happen to have the YouTube identification that we could make a note of?
I don't have it on me, but I can send it to you, Dennis.
Thank you. Look forward to receiving it, and I'll share it with the rest of the panelists.
Thank you once again, Dennis, and Leon, Audley, everyone on the call. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being with you, and until the next time. You all take care and good luck to you.
Before you go,
Audley has one other question.
I wanted to find out how are you financed, because is there a cricket association that does help, or is it just that you have a bunch of guys who retired and have everything in order.
That's a great question, Audley. And essentially, I wish I had something better to say. But at this point, kind of like it is self-funded completely. We do find some sponsors who kind of like contribute towards the uniforms or other expenses that we have to incur. But otherwise, it is kind of like all self-funded. And we have to get creative in kind of like trying to raise funds through different avenues. But it can be an expensive proposition, so it is kind of like definitely heavy on the pocketbook for everyone participating. But I guess at this point, the passion is driving everyone further and forward. And in the future, we do hope that we can find some more sponsors, corporate sponsors, who can help offset the expenses that are kind of like adding up substantially. But at this point, it is self-funded.
Okay.
Can I make one statement before you go? If you need an over 50 left arm swing bowler, I'm available. But one problem, you will have to get a runner so he can run up and give me the ball, and then I'll deliver the ball.
I'm glad you didn't say that he'll have to relay it to you and then you'll give it to someone else to bowl the ball. That's a good one.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mihir.
Okay, very good. Thank you. You all have a wonderful evening. Now. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Folks, let's turn our attention to the Australia-South Africa series. I'm sure most of you have been following it. And what is interesting to me is that South Africa has drawn a match. To me, that is tantamount to be at least making some improvements. What are your thoughts, gentlemen? Who wants to go first? Want to remind?
Australia won this series, 2-0. But what is more importantly is the fact that South Africa did manage to get a draw out of one of the three test matches, which looks as if they might well be thinking that they are turning the corner, much like the West Indies. So when they meet with the West Indies in a couple of months or so, we anticipate that we will see some strong performances, because neither of these two will be looking to come out at the bottom of the pile. We've seen some tremendous performances from Usman Khawaja, once again showing his mettle in this drawn test. Australia declared at 4 wickets with Usman 195 not out, and Smith scoring 104, and the irrepressible Labuschagne 79, and of course you cannot keep Travis Head out of the limelight.
Aggressive.
This was. Go ahead, sorry.
Travis Head. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just saying the aggressive Travis Head.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And in the South Africa second innings here, South Africa followed on. Of course, they were forced to follow on by Australia, which is something Australia did not give to the West Indies when the West Indies were down there. So one wonders why this, shall we call it, special treatment here, allowing them to follow on. Nonetheless, South Africa did hold their own in this one. In the second test, this is about the third test that Australia has scored a lot of runs. 578 in the second and 475 in the third. Out and out, Australia showing their dominance, and I think whoever has to play Australia next must be bring their A game in order to, give them credit, give them a real challenge. Back to you, Leo.
Okay, good. Good question. Good answer. How about you, Ivan? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I like to summarize some of what my good friend said there. The follow-on, first of all, rain saved South Africa. We just have to say that. You know, nature, you have no control over that. But rain was the one that caused them not to get to be swept. But let me put on my captain hat now. Australia only sent back in South Africa, but that was the only chance of winning, taking 20 wickets. They could not have batted again, formulate another declaration with enough time. As you can see, but South Africa just barely held on. So that is no answer, you, Dennis. It was no special treatment. The only way they could have won the match was to try to give them a 2-1. In terms of Africa, South Africa and West Indies meeting, West Indies is going to come up against it. We have not beaten South Africa in South Africa in any series. We have to win a match down there, one of those warm-up matches. That's the closest we ever came to winning South Africa in South Africa. So,
we won a test match down there, but not a series. We won a test match and went on to lose the series.
Right.
We went on to lose the series,
Right. We never won a series down there. So in terms of
we lost Ivor. Come on.
No, I'm
go
here,
ahead.
Leon.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
we just
saying,
lost you for me.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, one thing, in terms of matchup, South Africa are going to have the advantage playing at home. But I'm not going to give up on West Indies. I think they ought to just dig deep I don't know. They have an interim coach. I don't believe coaches win matches. You know how I feel about that. But if the players them dig deep and play the situation, I think we can be more than competitive. I still believe our batters are afraid of genuine fast bowling. And Wabara and the others are
Noki.
More
Noki.
Than, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're going to be more than enough for us because we are running from genuine fast bowling. So, passes for courses. I always say that. I'm going to pick guys with the guts. One of my number one pick in there going to be our Antiguan guy there.
Thomas,
yes. I pick people with guts who are going to fight fire with fire. Whether you top it for six or what, they've got to do that. But we just can't just pick names and you know how I feel about Bradley. I'm not picking nobody to draw no match for me. I want somebody to go and try to win matches for me. So just to answer Dennis, they have to pick guys who have it in them. Al-Zawi Joe's going to have to put his bat and take over from Holder in that all-around spot. It's about time the captain and coaches realize that we have to use Al-Zawi Joseph. One guy said whenever Al-Zawi Joseph go out on the field for us, he used to bat and always wanted to bat. So why we cannot make him our Steve Smith? Steve Smith batted number 8 for Australia as a leg spinner. And turned out to be the world number one batsman and captain. Garfield Sobers as an all-around, as a left-arm orthodox left-armer. That's when he made mistakes in his team and then turned out to be a batsman and a bowler of equal value. Why aren't we following the trend? We're holding on to Holder. I'm not saying to discard Holder. But why we just can't swap it and just said, Al-Zawi, you know, have to step up. We start to be chased. Batting our number 4 batsman started his career with 100. Now all of a sudden Chase is our off-spinner batting at number 9. So you can change a batsman to a bowler, but you cannot change a bowler to a batsman. I still hope they're listening in 2023. That's my contribution to that, man.
Oddly, have they picked the squad yet?
The West Indies?
Yes.
No, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen any.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm. But let's hear from you, Audley. Mm-hmm. Make you
yes,
have
well,
your
well, you know, when South Africa went down to Australia, we're expecting something competitive, but look, it's hard to go down to Australia right now. When you look at the fast bowler there that made his debut and took
Boland.
6 wickets for 7 runs. Boland. He's on the side and can't get into the side, right? And I mean, they have a battery of fast bowlers that it is flowing like remind me of when West Indies had those bowlers that with you know anyone can come in and you know they just have to be on the sideline. So and of course playing at home, so they did as well as I think even themselves maybe they were thinking of an upset. Why not? Because if you are not going to win, why even show? But they were overwhelmed by the Aussies. We have seen some bright light. Even when the side was going down the final time, you have Bavuma, you know, would be in playing good innings or Maharaj. I love that guy as an all rounder. I've been saying that. I said it before. I've seen him, you know, bat for a good while, and I think if they just like we're talking about all round watching, I think he should be nourished and nurtured, and you know, to get a good talk and say, look, we want you to bat up a little higher, and then you're gonna take up that second all rounder position because he has been doing very well as a batter. NGD. He was dropped for the last test. He was just there and there about in the second test, and everybody, you know, tied to a bad road. You know, you go through something sometimes that you need some rest. You need to work things out in your head because if things are not going right in your head, man, it doesn't make sense that the body is going onto the field, right? You have to concentrate what it's doing and you know just be nagging on the awesome there and there, both be straight down the legs that you're going to be in trouble and or too much bounces and stuff like that. But eventually, as what we expect to happen, New Zealand came through. And as I've you know mentioned already, yeah, it wasn't because when you have lost a day, and you know this would have been Kawaja's first double century, right? And everybody, including the Aussies, I think, want him to get it. But when you have lost a day, and when you know things like that, you know that there's no more time. You just have to go ahead. And when they got the follow on, it was less than 50 overs they have to bowl. So therefore, Australia would never think of going back in again. So the only option was to try and see the good run through the South Africans. Of course, it didn't happen. And overall, you know, Australia deserved to win. And it's gonna be a battle with us when we go down there. We are hoping. Well, we've been praying for miracles, and Dennis pointed out that they're gonna be like two teams trying to turn the corner. Well, there is a corner in St. Elizabeth in Jamaica, mm-hmm. the longest mm-hmm. corner. I don't think they have any other in the Caribbean as long. You just continue driving, and you're going around and around and around, and you're still in the corner. So we are still stuck somewhere there in the corner and waiting to finish, to go, get on the street again. Well, I'm hoping it will happen this time for us, and it's going to be hard in South Africa. You know, you're looking at the record, what has happened over the years. But let us hope for the best. Let us give the guys our support. Kawaja was the man of the match in this one, and the opener.
One player.
Player of the series, right? Covers everything. Mm-hmm. Male, female. Player of the series, David mm-hmm. Warner.
Yeah, let's hear from Virgil. Virgil, your take, anything?
When I saw that report that Australia declared and Kawaja was on 195, I can say it was shame on the captain, and very disappointed in the captain, because the captain know what time he was going to declare. He should have sent out a message even half an hour before.
It was because of the rain.
I know it's rain, but don't tell me because it's rain, that's why he declared, because of that. Five more runs. All he could have done,
no,
I don't think
I don't think you're watching the game, Virgil. Sorry.
No, Virgil, no. Virgil,
no, that's
the last
one. One at a time. Go ahead. Virgil.
We have to correct Virgil. He's going to the wrong road. Let's correct him.
It was the last day.
To go back in and bat the last day just to give us a, just for him to make 5 runs and then declare. Yes,
let me make it
was
point
out.
Let me make it finish, because we have someone.
Wait. Let me ask you something. Who bat first?
Australia
bat first.
Yeah.
Australia bat first.
Australia batted first, but when they were playing, at the end of the third day.
Let Virgil finish, and then we will.
Australia back first, right? That's when they declare, right?
Because the rain fell.
Yes, because the rain. Yeah.
And comes out the foot, completely wash out.
What day did they declare? It was on the fourth day?
No.
No.
It was on the third day or the second day?
They just declared at the overnights where they were after the rain. The rain stopped play, and when it finished, the next day they didn't come out again.
Could you do me a favor, please?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Oddly, wait a minute.
Let me get some. What's your question?
I'm asking a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Australia back first. Australia back the first day and the second day, right?
Yeah.
Okay. When did the rain wash out the whole day? It was on the third day.
The third day.
Okay. So they have the second day and the fourth day. Right. They have two more days, right?
Yes, but rain in the forecast, Virgil.
But make your point, Virgil.
I understand that rain was in the forecast, but for said You need 5 more runs. What it take? You're ready to win the series. What 5 more runs can do you? What 5 more, half an hour more to put him out there? The same game. Did they win the game or they draw the game?
The game was drawn. But okay, the point you're making is that they should, you feel that Australia should have given Khawaja an opportunity to make the 200 runs. 200 runs.
Course.
Yeah.
When,
I don't see anything wrong with that, but we don't know why they do it.
When Brian Lauer had break the record, I was going for the record, did what? West Indies declare, they make him go until he, what, did they win the game? They make him go until he break the record. I mean, that is a landmark for him. That's a landmark for him.
Virgil, remember one time,
yes.
Sarwan on 291?
I heard about that. But that
he was out.
They said he's clear.
Oh, he was not out? Oh, yeah.
No, he's not out.
Gravitt did the same thing to Ken Duca. While Ken Duca was batting, nobody even sent a message out and tell him, like, okay, speed it up, make it 100, and then we declare. 90-something, then call him in. He was disappointed because he didn't expect that neither.
No. I agree with you, Virgil. When it comes to the message, they could have done that. They could have done the message. I agree with you on the message, but they were looking at the point. They want to do a 3-0 because they want to the points standing. Remember, they have a test championship, so the more you win, the more points you accumulate. So that's what they're looking at.
But let's hear from Mr. McKenzie, a long-awaited brother. Come on, and we have Mr. Jatin waiting, and did I see Simon here? No, go ahead. Mr. McKenzie, come on in. The guys want to hear
your voice. Thank you very much. Nice to hear your voice, all your voices, and I want to wish everyone a very pleasant New Year. Hope you guys have a very good Christmas and a very good New Year, and I hope you wish you all the very best. Nice to be back on the show. I'm still limping. I'm still trying to walk with my walker, but anyway, you can hear my voice. So thank you very much for welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And same to you.
Leon, hold on a minute. Just before we think, because we don't want to mislead the public.
Wait. Let me bring in these guys first. Bring them in. We will come back to it. But Simon, say hello.
And a very good evening to you.
Thank you, Simon.
Good evening to you. And that's a good evening to Dennis and Cardinal, Audley, Donna, Matrice, Virgil, Mr. Patel, Jetna, Ivor, Mr. McKenzie. I've been asking
you
for a whole year. So nice to hear your voice. I ask for you all the time. Happy that you're doing okay. Have a happy New Year.
Yes, I'm trying to.
And a safe and a healthy one.
Thank you so much, Simon. Mr.
I ask for you every week.
Yes, we did. Jatin, just say hello.
Yes, good evening, everybody.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody.
Coach.
Go ahead, make your point now, Ivor. Good evening to you,
Jatin. I was saying that when we played against England, Sawan was out for 291. I remember in the same match, the keeper guy there, Randin, had made a century to 166. So it was no declaration. Yes, we did declare, but not with Sawan. Mm-hmm.
Someone
was out for 291.
I just want to say something there because that's what somebody told me and he was not out. So what I'd like to do, look it up slow because sometimes people tell you things. People tell you things and if you don't look it up, because somebody told me that.
Virgil, he's right because I know in my records that I know there's only one person finishing in the 290s not out, and that was Bradman, the 299 when Perler ran out.
The reason why I say that sometimes people tell you things and you just take it and just believe it. And if you go and look it up and see it's
okay, hold on, Virgil.
Yeah. Wait, let me finish. Come on.
I have it.
You finished, Virgil?
I have it. You just look it up. So, England's first inning, they batted first and they made 600 for six, declared. West Indies, in reply, made 749 for nine, declared. Rani Sawan batted number three. He made 291. He was bowled by side bottom. Devon Smith made 5. Chris Gayle, 6. Chandra Paul made 70. Dennis Ramey, yes, he made 166. I know, remember he made 100. Jerome Taylor had 53 in that. So, yes, Virgil.
Thank you very much. Because the reason why I said that, there was two persons like me, and the two of them were saying the same thing. So I can't go against them because I don't know. You see, now you look it up, so sometimes it's good to go look up stuff when seven people tell you things. And Ivan, let me say something to you. Oh, Glenville is here, and I guess, I don't remember Glenville Brown. He's in Florida. I was with him yesterday. So I just want to tell you that he is in Florida.
Okay. So you finish your thoughts. Let me hear that, Jatin, beyond the Australia, South Africa match, what are your thoughts? Anything you want to bring to the table?
No, nothing much important there because it looks like more than a day time was lost due to rain. So there wasn't much expectation. And Australia tried their best to declare the inning when the play was resumed to make sure that they have the full advantage with any possible chance to bowl South Africa out twice, but did not happen because South Africa came back and did fight well, especially after the follow-on. So it's a tough series, but looks like Australia is now in a tight situation when it comes to the points for the World Championship. And it looks like India and Australia series in India will decide who will be the two contenders because Australia is still ahead. But if the India can win by 3-1 or better, then they can go in. If not, then they have to wait for the other results between the few test series are still on schedule, but those are like front runners. But it was a good game, and South Africa is like new team trying to build up from scratch now, I will say. There are not many senior players out there in that team, so they are trying to find the best team out there to compete in international level. So it may take about another year or so before we see some consistency in batting order and bowling unit for the South Africa.
Okay. Thank you so much. Let me just getting a few points in and then it's okay. I just wanted to just bring the public attention to the performance of Elgar, the captain for South Africa. I don't think he has passed 20 in any of the innings. He had a poor performance. And I still see that, and to me, I don't know if anybody noticed, there is a rivalry between Lavachani and Steve Smith. Anybody see anything that point out my...
You mean like on the field, showing up on the field?
No, on the field or off the field, because I don't know if Steve Smith wants to go back to number 3. I want to captain Australia again.
No. I'll be back number 4, Leon.
Okay. You want to go? But I noticed when Lavachani was batting and he made a landmark, I looked and see the camera came on Steve Smith and he did not even clap. I don't know. If you guys start a match again, just look for that. But I think the important thing about Australia, they have a batting lineup, man. They can... On their day with Travis Head, with Warner back in form again, and their bowling is lethal. I don't know. Just gonna take an India. I think you're gonna be taking an India to bring them back to earth again. So those are my points. But and then it's I'm looking at South Africa. I feel it's gonna be. West Indies is going to have a tough time over in South Africa as well. And I don't know if they went to Australia and get beaten, if they're going to carry the same team and no changes. They're going to get the same results. So, anybody else want to come back in before we bring in Simon? Or do they want to come back in with a couple points? Or Kenny?
Who's the coach of West Indies?
Andre Corey.
Andrew Coley from Jamaica.
Coley from Jamaica.
Interim.
Interim, right.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
All right, okay.
Yes, Leon, I just want to remind our listeners that this is the Cricket Show on the web at www.blogtalkradio.com/the Cricket Show. They can call us on 1-515-605-9850. 1-515-605-9850. That's Leon, my follow-up point here is that I know you placed a careful watch on Bavuma, and you might be happy to note that in
he
the first
runs,
test, he made some runs in the first and it test, first test innings and the second innings of the first match. In the second test, he also had some runs, 65, I think, he top scored in the second innings of the second test. And, of course, in the first innings of this test match, he also scored a few. And going back to Virgil points, I quite understand, you know, the misgivings about not alerting Khawaja about the impending declaration. However, in terms of the Australia, it is currently ahead of the World Test Championship series table with 100 and I think it's 31 points. And India follows with 99 points. So that suggests to me that perhaps Virgil might well be right in terms of thinking, you know, Australia would have lost nothing by giving Usman the additional, you know, half an hour to get that five runs. And I'm assuming it would not have taken half an hour to have that. But that is my last contribution on that one.
Anyone else anything on this match before we ask Simon come in? Anything else from Ivor or Audley just before we go come off of this topic and ask?
I just want to say that I am glad that Khawaja could have made it 200 because he could have been out too.
Yes.
What I want to say is that, and Virgil have to understand that Australia, they play team first. They don't go for the lower 400 and all that stuff because they want to have a chance to go on to make 400 runs. They declared. If the captain at one time who respected Don Bradman 334, he declared in Australia, they don't play for the individual anything. Just like Viv Richards when he was playing. He wasn't playing for the record. He was playing for the team. So I like Australia way. I'm playing team, the individual record. What is that? Look at Steve Smith. They're asking Steve Smith with 30 test centuries at 33 years old about his retirement. The man's still a young guy when you had people making the team in Australia, 36, 37, 38. They're looking at team first. So Steve Smith, if you're delivering at 33 and a man at 38 is doing better, Australia's going to pick that 38-year-old guy. I think that's
awesome. Australia never forget that sandpaper gate.
Well, and it was against Australia. It was against
South Africa.
So that's why they had a team for South Africa.
All right. So let's siphon over to Mr. Simon. Simon, give us an easy one this time.
Yes, I'm
not,
here.
Not from the book.
I'm here listening to the experts over there.
Give us, Simon, time is on us. Give us the inside edge. That's
give
all
you
we
a
need
very
from this.
Easy one tonight.
Easy one, not the inside edge.
Okay, question for tonight, ladies, gentlemen, listeners. There's a cricketer called Wasim Akram. My first part of the question is, which country he played for? And give me his test score, his highest test score in tests. I'm going to repeat it. Wasim Akram, which country he played for, and give me his highest score in tests.
Okay, Pakistan, 79.
Yeah, I agree that. I think it's Pakistan.
Okay,
it was a double century. It's a double century. He made a double century. I don't remember the exact score. We know it's Pakistan.
I think it's 213.
Okay, thank you, Mr. McKenzie. And so nice to hear your voice again.
Okay. Who's next? Ivor is back.
Okay. I heard the question just before I got dropped. What it was? Pakistan and I'm going to guess 225.
Okay. How about
yeah, these are test wickets now. Test wickets.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
No, wicket. No, it's not wicket. It's a run.
No,
it's a run,
wicket,
not wicket.
Run.
My mistake.
You
thought
it's a run.
Oh.
No, that was my mistake. Test wickets.
Oh, you make 331 wickets then.
Okay.
No.
Oh.
That was
yeah,
my mistake.
Okay, how about with 300 wickets?
Yes,
yeah, 331,
I
think.
He's from Pakistan. He's,
I read
yeah,
it incorrectly.
From,
it was test wickets.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
He's
ahead,
from
ahead,
Pakistan, and I will say his highest score, I believe 257 or 258 against Zimbabwe. That's what he
No, no. He meant how many wickets? How many test
wickets? Test wickets.
Wickets.
Yeah. Test wickets.
Not
to
run.
414.
Wasim Akram.
Akram.
Yes, 414.
Okay. 414. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
414. He was four. That's right. He was over 400 runs. How about
okay,
you, Dennis?
Well,
Dennis?
Virgil, are you with me? You want to give me an answer?
Yeah. I'm gonna go with coach. I'm gonna go with him because he's a 401 and he's a left-hander. So I think he's all positive. He's all positive with left. He's all positive with left-hander. So I'm gonna go with him.
Okay, Mr. McKenzie. Give me a best guess.
Give me a what?
Your best guess. How many test wickets Wasim Akram took?
Oh, 157. 157, I think.
No.
Test wickets.
157 test wickets.
Okay,
right.
And which country you played for?
157, yeah.
Which country you played for?
Pakistan.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay.
Anyone else?
Else?
How about you, Donna?
Donna, give us a crack at it.
I'm not sure. But
best guess.
Give us your best your best figure.
I said 410.
Okay. Thank you so much. And which country you played for? Wasim Akram.
Pakistan.
All right, thank you. Okay, Mertrice, are you with us? You want to have a crack at it?
She's with
no
us,
answer?
But no answer.
Okay.
Why don't you reveal the answer?
The answer, I think...
Was
in play for Pakistan. Test wickets, 400...
Okay.
400 square? Or 400, just even 400?
Yeah, I'll settle for 400.
Okay. Why don't you reveal
the
results?
Anyone else, Mr. President?
No, sir.
I didn't hear from Audley.
Audley?
I answered first. I know it was 400. I said 431. But it was because he was a leading lefty, leading wicket taker as a lefty. It's 414, but because the guy from Sri Lanka, there, the spinner, I forget his name, the contemporary to
Muralitharan.
Haranga Herat. He's a left hander. He used to pass him.
Thank you. Is that the whole panel? We've been through the panel?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, let me tell you what my book here says from ICC from London. It says, Wasim Akram, a left-hand fast bowler from Pakistan, took 414 test wickets in his career.
Ooh, wow. Wow.
And that's what the book said now. That's what I said. The book.
Yeah, he retired long, so he has to be right.
Yes, someone got it. I forgot it.
That is
correct.
It's right.
Jason got it, not me. Jason.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he said 414.
Yeah, Jason and Virgil. Jason and Virgil got it.
Easy to remember, I can tell you what happened. At one point, the world leader in the test wicket was Richard Hadley from New Zealand. His record was 431 wickets.
Yeah.
The first one who broke that record
and went on and retired is a Kapil Dev, 434. That's his number.
Yeah, okay, 434, remember that.
And
yes.
when Wasim Akram retired, the half of the Pakistan was debating, like he could have keep continue and took the 21 more wickets so he can be a world leader. That was the situation. That's why I remember. 20,
yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah.
Kapil and Wasim.
Yes, 414.
Okay, 414. Thank you,
then,
Simon.
Let
you
me
did a good
tell
job.
You for
you
the
West question.
Yeah. Yeah, let me tell you one thing important here while we're talking wickets. When that records were broken, it is like just Dan Bradman's record when Sunil Gavaskar broke it, which is number of
centuries.
It was the same decade. It was the same decade that couple of bowlers got into the 400 range, but the pride moment for the West Indies was Courtney Walsh was the first ever bowler in international cricket to take 500.
500
wickets.
500 wickets.
Yeah.
Courtney Walsh. Okay, folks, let's give one a question to Simon. I have this put up for him for since the beginning of the week, and there are two umpires on the panel. So Simon, be careful how you answer. What signal does the umpire give for penalty, for awarding penalty runs, and describe how he makes the signal. You understand the question?
You want to know what signal he gives to tell
the scorer.
Scorer, yes, that someone did an infringement. So he's going to deduct a run.
No, not deduct.
No, how penalty runs? How many penalty runs are awarded to the fielding team?
Oh, to the fielding side.
Is it fielding team? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Or batting. Either one.
Or batting. Yeah. Batting or fielding side, yes.
I get you. Well, I think from the top of my head now, I think he'll put up his fingers and say either two or one. By a finger, indicated by a finger.
One strike.
How many runs?
How many runs? And the signal.
Describe how he makes the signal. He would put up four fingers.
Two strikes.
Three fingers.
You strike out. Tell us what is the signal that he gives to the general public and to the scorers and the teams involved.
That's why I said he would exhibit three fingers to the
You struck out with that already, so you can go back to that again.
You can go back.
You have already struck out.
Okay. Well, he'll touch his head and
close. Wait. I'm going to give you one more chance. No. You're close.
Okay. He will touch his head and point to the pavilion.
No, again. Not again.
With the two fingers.
Okay. Who wants to go first? Tell him. How many runs? Who wants to tell how many runs he is being awarded to the opposing side? Five runs. Five runs.
For hitting like the helmet.
The helmet. The ball hits the helmet.
And then the sign, you put the hand in the air and then bring it down across on your shoulder, the opposite shoulder.
Yes. Hit your shoulder. Anybody disagrees with that?
I can refine that. Yeah, there could be something else.
No, well, opposite is for one, and the regular shoulder is for another. Because remember, penalty points can be given to either the batting side or
the bowling. Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Do you understand, Simon?
Yes, sir. They will deduct five runs from the batting side and give it to the opposing side.
Is that correct? They awarded five.
Not quite correct. Whoever.
He's not taking it from. He's awarding it. He's not taking it from.
Right. Awarding it to the opposing side. That's what I mean. So in other words, if you're batting,
either be batting or feeling. Right.
But would he give it to the team or one individual player?
Team.
Okay, I got you.
Just like you give wide?
Yeah. It's added to the other side. One run. Yes.
Five runs for a penalty, right? For striking the helmet.
I got you.
Okay, folks. So you
understand? Thank you so much, Mr. President.
Oh, how about you? Virgil, you didn't say anything. Did you have an answer different to that?
No. I was asking which signal is for the batting side and which signal is for the fielding side.
The one who...
The helmet, which is placed behind the wicketkeeper. Yeah, but then that's for the batting side is going to get that. But what about the fielding side? What do you do
no.
to get
no, no, no.
one for
but,
the
okay,
side?
Okay, let me answer that.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we can do it in the time. You will cross your hand regardless, but you will tap it. Once you tap it, it's for the batting.
Okay.
Okay? So you make the signal, you bring it across your shoulder.
Mm.
If you leave it on your shoulder, that is awarded to the fielding team. If you tap it, that's the different thing. So you have to, the scores have to know what the signals are for.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Right. And what is the difference between a run short and the penalty runs? How the signals differ?
The one shot is the shoulder. You just bring your arm out and touch the shoulder. Whichever arm you're using, you just wave it back and forth, touching the shoulders,
yes.
Go across,
yes.
Diagonally, come back, go across, come back. With the penalty one,
I saw the umpire doing a most similar to the one shot.
No, it's across.
Mm.
The penalty
it's
one
across,
you,
yes.
You cross the shoulder.
Cross the shoulder, okay.
Right, if you tap it or you don't tap it. That's the difference.
Okay, good. Any other questions? New Zealand versus Pakistan. Both matches ended in a draw. Do you want to take that for us, Dayton? Open the batting for us. New Zealand versus... Series on the test matches went draw 4-4-2.
Just before we go any further, Lawrence Yagaro always 808, and today's Lawrence's birthday. So
birthday indeed. Okay,
call.
We should call him.
Yeah, today's
yeah.
his birthday. The Lawrence Yagaro hour.
Yes, indeed. I'll give him a call and see if I get him. So thanks for that, Orly. So Pakistan, New Zealand, second test match. New Zealand 449 and 277 for 5. Pakistan 408. And 304 declared. In fact, New Zealand declared 277 for 5 as well. Too. Match drawn.
Well, Leon, in the second test here, we had the match was drawn, but of course it was pretty close because Bad Light ended play with 3 overs remaining of the maximum. And, of course, Pakistan were 15 runs short, and New Zealand needed 1 wicket. So that was what you would call a nail-biter. And in this case, I guess you could say Bad Light came in, but did it stop the Pakistanis or did it stop the New Zealanders? We'll never tell. We'll never know because it was that close. Nonetheless, it was both test matches were well played. Each time, and a lot of runs scored and a lot of good performances from players on both sides. Azam scoring 161 in the first test. Williams is 200 for New Zealand, and Latham 113. And, of course, for Pastan, you have Ul Haq with 96 and Shaquil 55, Hamid 53. Going into the second test, you get Conway with another 100. You have Shaquille with 125 for Pakistan. So all round, this looked like an evenly matched series and it could have gone either way in terms of the final match. And I sorely thought that was enjoyable from a spectator's point of view. Back to you, Leon.
Okay. How about you, Ivor? Your take.
Well, I always say that a draw match is a wizard. Some people would make noise and say, Test cricket is dead because
for five days
and you don't get a result after 5 days. But like Dennis just said, an exciting draw is one that will take home, keep in my memory bank any day of the week. And this, again, when the pendulum is swinging, New Zealand, give you a chance to win. So New Zealand declared and said, have a go with enough time. I used to hate those, you bat until lunch and then want somebody to bat in two sessions to make 300 runs. That's not going to happen. So just to summarize it quickly, well-fought test match, good series, let's put it that way, and that's the way test match ought to be. Go out fighting.
Are you playing in New Zealand or in India?
In Pakistan.
Pakistan, okay.
Yes.
Not India. Pakistan and New Zealand, same.
Yeah, so
we hope that India would go to Pakistan.
Wait. They're two of Pakistan. New Zealand was two in Pakistan.
Okay.
Yes.
So, Jason, give us your take.
Well, it's an exciting series. After a long time, we can see the both test went as a competitive cricket. We must give a credit to both sides. They played with the spirit of the game, keeping the sportsmanship at the highest possible level. And not only that, both teams did well in terms of giving declaration to make sure that there is a chance for the result. And the way I feel, it's happened because both sides wanted to gain points if they can win the game. That was the situation. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, both got close call. Too much exciting, I would say. Anyone can have win it. But now it's a draw. So they both team are losing the advantage in terms of the points for the...
Yes, indeed. Dennis, how much points would each team get as a result of the draw?
The draw, one second, I will get that for you.
Point has nothing to do, guys. Point has nothing to do. That part is over now. It's all about percentage.
Percentage?
If you play, let's say, 10 tests, how many you win, and the winning percentage is the one decides for the World Test Championship. So right now, Australia and India are leading. So it depends on how many test matches you have played.
The percentage
how
the
many of
that
them
won.
You won.
You'd have won, yeah.
No. Are you sure about that? It's four points for a draw and 12 for a win. And
that
yeah,
is correct.
That's what it is.
And
six for tie. Six for tie.
Ivor, that is correct.
They started with the
indeed,
points and they get rid of it. They started with the points before the corona and then they get rid of it and came out to the winning percentage, which is kind of odd formula. But that's how it's going on. And if you see these two test matches, only reason they declare and made competitive because both teams wanted to have winning. And it did not work out.
Because they need 12 points. The match would only give them 4 points. They have points.
Let's get it straight.
They do have points, but coach is giving the correct explanation. Even though you get the points, the points is based on the number of matches, the number of wins in the series. So they take the whole series, put it together, and then they divide it by what the number of points that was available for that series. Consequently, you have Australia winning 10 matches overall, and they have 136 points. England has won 10 matches also, but their points is 124. The percentage for England is 46, whereas for Australia it's 75. So that tells you it is not the number of wins as much as the number of percentage points you get based on the amount of points available for each series.
Mm-hmm. I'm at a loss with this, folks.
Yeah,
so who is right? Who is?
I got lost.
I was into the details these last 2 weeks. But
if you're playing a three-match series, the number of points available would be 36. But if you win one, then it's a percentage of 36. If you win two, it's a percentage of 36. So all the matches that they've won, it's all based on the percentage of the points available that they get. And in this case, Australia has a greater number of percentage points. And, of course, you have to remember they lose points if they do not meet the over rate available for the test match. The West Indies lost some points in their recent matches. Even though they lost the series, they also lost points for not reaching the thing. So there's a number of factors which you have to meet in order to get the maximum amount of points. And right now, you know, Australia's way ahead, 75%. India's second with 58%. And you have Sri Lanka at 53%. West Indies is down there with 40 percentage points, having won just four and losing five. So you have, it's a very complex figure that you have to really sit down with the calculator, look at each other, and make the calculations. I know I've done this before, and I will have to go back.
Is it easier than Duckworth Lewis?
No. Total percentage points available for each series. It's based on the
number of matches and the number of wins.
The number of each series, if it's five, there's more matches involved. Each series, if it's three or if it's two, the number of points available is what's used for each win. You know, maybe if it's 12, then it's 24 for a two. If it's five, it's 60. And how many you win is based on, that's how you get the percentage points.
Simon, don't worry. You have to get some after-school training, okay? After class.
And don't say me.
Yeah, they're talking about
the test championship. And the,
it could still
the
be very exciting. Test cricket could be very exciting.
Yes.
We just played one while ago with New Zealand and South Africa. Test cricket is not dead.
Just to put a polish on this, the player of the series is Sarfraz Ahmed, which I'm so happy for him, man. I mean, he was dropped out of the side for a while. He's a former captain, and he came back, and he was a real warrior. He scored runs after runs, and came out as the player of the series. And, well, he's about 35
up there, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he really performed well.
He really performed well, bat.
Yeah.
And
player of the series,
You saw how he struggled with the hamstring injury and tried to bring it home, and then he slowed down. But I thought Pakistan did well. 9 wickets to a fall, and you see this, the tail enders did not give up. They were going for that run. 17 wickets or so. Any other questions, folks? Let's go on to India versus Sri Lanka.
I want to raise an issue.
Come closer to your mic. Come closer to your phone. Come closer.
I want to just raise an issue.
Come a little closer.
Playing out in Australia just now.
Right.
And that relates to a catch taken by Steve Smith. Very low down. He rolled over, picked it up. And then the umpires consulted, and the presiding umpire gave what the batsman, and then it went upstairs. This is a discussion. How can you really be sure that catch is taken? It's a really a shoelace thing. Way down near to the ground, you roll over, come up with the ball, and the ball touch the ground. Are the umpires in a position to see exactly what happened? I don't know.
So
yeah,
the I think
and the television used all the different angles to decide whether the match or not is out or not.
I think they freeze the camera at different points, and it depends on the third umpire who will make the final call. And usually, in my view, they give the batsman the benefit of the doubt if there's any doubt whatsoever. That's how I concluded.
But from where I was looking at it, I saw the ball touch the ground.
Touch the ground, yeah, to me.
Yes,
that was the first one.
Oh, there's another one?
The first one.
Yeah.
People admit that the first one, they say, yes, I believe it touched the ground. The second
one.
Steve Smith is claiming the catch, even to today. He says he still can't do technology. Would not give the last one out. This was on the last day.
I didn't see that one.
The point about technology, because sometimes with the naked eye, you see that ball like it going over his stump. So when the camera zooming at it, he hit this stump center. Sometimes I see
You know why that, Leon? That's why I said it is not flawless. That's a measurement they took. And they put that, the pitch does not operate the same way from day one until day four.
Right.
When they put these measurements, all hitting here at this speed will bounce in here and go in here. And they find that same ball being 70 overs old. It's not going to bounce as high as the new ball. But the measurement
they have there is set.
That it would go over. But with the naked eye, they're not going to focus with the naked eye. But it's the measurement, what they calculated and put in there.
Well, hopefully they would adjust the measurement according to the age of the ball.
But they can't do it. No. The man has an idea. That's already set in there. He can just go back and replay. And here's where the ball hits, and take it from there. Many times you would have seen it yourself. How in the world did that ball go that way? Something make you wonder, is that the same ball that was just bowled? But that's how they do it. It's already measured in there. It's a measurement.
In India versus Sri Lanka, Jatin, what an extraordinary batting from, I can't even pronounce his name, this guy.
Surya Kumar Yadav.
Just say Yadav. Man, that guy is a modern day mystery batsman. The shorter format. Give us your take.
Well, they're playing in the wrong season for India, actually. This is not the cricket season, weather-wise. And number two, these grounds are a little bit moderate, except this last one, Rajkot. But then the pitches looks like really a flat. That is what they took all advantage. It's become high-scoring, like you can see the two games with 200 plus runs, which is looks like now going to be normal soon. In T20, you must go 200 if you are betting first to win it. And that is what they are practicing. And you can see Surya Kumar is definitely doing something different than what
others
do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Definitely.
He has three, four strokes. I believe he is the only one mastering that skill, where others may try, but it will not work for a long time because this takes a lot of practice. And I believe he has achieved because that is how he wants to play, especially when he's taking those wide outside the off-stump balls and putting behind the backward square leg. So that's like really not just cross bat, but it takes the wrist, arms, everything, because he's not putting the body behind and he can still play the strokes.
You bowl him outside the off stump, he can hit you with six. Short. Full.
Outside and high. Outside and high, as a matter of fact.
And bring it high above the stumps that are bounced up. And he can get you.
I read, Leon, that the reason why he can do those shots is that when he's practicing, you know, when they do that's the sort of way he played. So it's been refined daily, you know, and that is something that is ongoing. So unless maybe they have lending the boundaries and stuff like something like that. But, you know,
he's out of this world, boy. Anybody want to comment?
When they look at those pitches in New Zealand, those grounds in New Zealand, it's so small that if he should play on those New Zealand grounds, a lot of those balls that were four would have gone for six. It's like every ball they hit is into the crowd, way over. The pitches where they're playing the super smash on, they're so they're small. The grounds itself.
But they're in India. They're playing in India. Sri Lanka playing
in India. I know. I'm just saying that if he should be playing in New Zealand, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Or Senkit. he do the same too.
Senkit can actually push a rope back.
I need to say something. We were talking, Mr. McKenzie was talking about some catch with Steve Smith, and I was wondering if he was watching the same thing that I was watching. But then when I heard you guys say two incidents, I didn't say nothing. And it was apparently right now I was just watching the game over, and the same, I guess, the first incident with Steve Smith, there is no how he could have claimed that catch, because the ball actually catch between his two finger, and you can see the ball on the ground. The second from head on, from front way, it looked like the ball bounced in the hand, but from sideways, the ball, he catch the ball. The second one was a catch. When the umpire gave him out, the second one was actually catch. His finger was underneath the ball. But the first one, he could not claim something like that, because you can see the ball actually between his finger
and
the ground.
He didn't claim it.
And if someone was saying that, he was saying he couldn't believe the umpire didn't give him out or something like that.
The second one. I didn't know those two different occasions. But I have corrected it.
The second one, the umpire gave him out.
No. Look at it again.
Which one is the first one? The one that he rolled over, or the one that comes straight to him?
No. You're right. The umpire gave him up, but the overturn is upstairs.
That was which one? That was the one that he rolled over.
The soft signal was out. The soft signal was out, but the upstairs umpire denied it.
Okay. That was the one that he catched between his finger there.
No.
Okay, but the other one that comes straight on, the one that he did not roll over, because the one that McKenzie was talking about, the one that he rolled over.
Yeah, I'm talking about that one.
Right? Yeah, the ball touched the ground because it was between his finger. The other one, the umpire did give him out, and he went off. I don't know if it was the first one or the second one, but the one that comes straight on. But the one that rolled over that Mr. Kenzie was talking about, when he rolled over, the ball actually catched between his two finger, and the ball was actually on the ground. But the other one was straight forward. I don't know if it was the first one or the second one.
But he came up so fast at the ball. Rolled over and came up pretty fast. What is your opinion?
But slow motion showed that the ball touched the ground. But the other one was a straightforward. The other one was actually a catch. But I can't tell you if it was the first one or the second one, because I did not know. But I saw one before, and I just saw the one a little while ago with the one he was talking about that he rolled over.
I'm yet to see that one. So when I replay it,
one of them.
Because I can't watch straight. I sleep and I wake.
That
and
was like
then
the second,
when I
get up, I think second or the third wicket or something like that. That one was
okay.
Yeah.
Hold on. The one here on cricket. Yeah, hope you hear me. Steve Smith spoke. It said Steve Smith on Fox. Go on cricket for you can see. We tried a lot out there. I think we had three or four umpire calls that didn't quite go our way. But that's the game. We probably missed a few half chances throughout this morning and into the second inning as well. If you took those things, might have been differently potentially. But we worked hard all day. On the non-catches, I could understand the one the other day, the one that I scooped up with the one hand, I think that might have potentially touched the ground. But I thought today's one, I was pretty certain I caught today's one. But seemed the other way. Yes, that happened as well. So Steve Smith was claiming the one, and they sent one upstairs, Virgil.
And
they denied it.
Negative.
But that's the probably the one that Mackenzie talk about, and you can see in slow motion. You can watch that and see that ball touch ground because they were showing it, and that's the same one he's talking about.
No, he's not talking about the one. The one in the last he took one. And he was taken.
I know he took one, and the umpire gave him out, and the guy walked off.
Upstairs denied it. And he wanted them cooking for a year. He wanted, he said, I'm pretty sure I took that catch. But the technology overruled it and said no.
Yeah, sometimes the bomb ball so close, man, so.
We're going to take a little look at the women's World Cup on the 19 World Cup, which starts January the 14th and ends January the 29th. And then the women's Senior World Cup now, February the 10th and February the 10th to the February 26th. That seems short, but it's only teams. Anybody wants to talk about any of those two competitions? Can Western compete? We know how strong the Western is, or how strong the other teams are in relation to this tournament. It's the first time we're having this on the 19th. Is that correct? Anybody wants to?
For ladies.
I
know we're for men. I'm not sure about the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're correct, Leah.
Yeah,
I think you're correct. I think it's the first time the under 19 women are playing a World Cup matches. As far as the West Indies are concerned, we are not too sure how strong the team is because we haven't seen them playing much. I know they've been out. I know the USA also have an under 19 team, the one that's coached by Chandra Paul, and they too. They are probably stronger than the West Indies team, but at the same time, I'm not sure how this relative strength of the English team compared to, say, Sri Lanka, Australia, Bangladesh. But on paper, Australia play a lot of cricket, women's cricket, so I expect they would probably be quite stronger.
True.
And England...
They have a good team down there.
In the same mold. So... this is going to be one of the matches where we begin to see the relative strength of the younger version of the women's teams, the ones that we hope will replace the senior teams. And we hope that we can find a few diamonds in the rough for the West Indies and for the USA. I really will be looking forward to watching it because I want to see how it develops. Back to you there, Leon.
Anyone else wants to comment on the under 19 first, and then we go to the senior team? Under 19.
Well, I just want to shout for Jetna. I want to root for Jetna because she's been an integral part.
I was looking for her, but she's not here.
Yes.
She must be out training.
Ladies, right? United States ladies. Yes. I really want them to do very good. We know they're infant, so to speak. They're just teething pains, but we are expecting them to go out there and do their best. They may not be able to compete at this time, but you never know. They went to the Caribbean and they won a tournament, if I'm not mistaken. Are they
the USA
the West Indies?
The
US
USA team,
ladies.
The USA team beat the West Indies team.
So you never know. You never know. I'm really rooting for them.
We just want to see how the West Indies will do, hopefully. Now, gentlemen, the ladies' competition starts February the 10th and ends February 26th. India is the defending champion or is Australia? I'm not too sure. Anyone can help me a bit? The women's?
No.
Who is the defending champion? India or Australia?
Australia? I thought it was Australia.
Was it India and somebody and Australia meeting the final? I don't know. Was it?
Anybody knows?
Boy, I tell you something. Sometimes I don't remember what I have for breakfast.
There's so much cricket going on. Jatin, any help? Jatin, any help from you in terms of... Oh, he's gone. Gone to bed. Yeah, he's gone to bed. Yeah, okay. So, folks, anything anybody wants to say on that? West Indies... No, folks, question. Do you think West Indies should do something to get DeAndre Dutton back in the squad? She is sadly missing.
Stephanie Taylor is back.
No. Dutton. Yes.
I know.
Stephanie Taylor. Yeah, she's back, yes. But Dutton, man.
But the problem there, Leon, is that Dutton left the squad for pretty much the same reason some of the men players in the past have decided to give up playing, you know, for the West Indies. You know, either, you know, it usually comes down to money and perhaps in some cases,
Because he didn't get the captaincy. That's why she left. That's why she left.
That's what they say she left, but we don't know for sure. Do we know for sure?
I was trying to be diplomatic here.
Yeah.
All right. Let us say it was alleged that she resigned or retired because she did not get the captaincy.
In my humble opinion.
Okay, that's your opinion.
That's what I figured.
It is my opinion.
Me too.
That's the reason why she left.
Why she left?
But I don't know why they didn't give her, because she's the next most senior person in the side, and she has performed, especially the time, you know, when it's like they're done and say, oh, hand me the ball. 3 weeks and last, hand me the ball. Right. And then when you look at the amount of centuries that she has scored, international centuries, you know, come on. And then you're not even peer in the mind. Oh, come on. She was so hurt. I think she was so hurt. Let's go on. Let's go make some money in the big bash.
Let me say something about that. Everybody always, I'm the senior player. I make the most runs. I get the most wicket. It's always about something have to do with captain. That have nothing whatsoever to do with captain. Because it's a lot of people, they can be the best. But believe you, once they lead, it's like you're running into an army. Some of these people cannot talk to their own person right in front of them. And you cannot make somebody lead a team just because they're the senior player, the most runs and the most wicked, because they do not know how to deal with people sometimes. And that is a big problem, because if you allow that to happen, you kind of destroy the team itself.
You have a point there, but the only thing is that If they had known that over the years, why did they allow her to continue as vice captain? Since if that's the case, just a scenario, hypothetical case now, I'm just looking and say, if that was the case, and they have known that over a period of time, they should never allow her to continue as vice captain, because she, you know, so with the retirement of Stefani. Or she gave up that resigned as captain and just give some, you know, you're looking for.
Okay, so. So she make a decision, but I think she's looking after herself and decide to make a decision. Wrong or right, she had to live with it. That means is not responsible for her injuries or anything of that nature. She has to take care of that now that she is retired from.
Well, if you're earning the money, you can pay your big insurance. Not a problem.
Yeah. Oh, maybe they do have the insurance for the players. Who knows? Now, there's something that we talked about before we get into the media things. You know, there's so many T20 matches going on. Right? West Indies, okay, so cricket. Yeah, West Indies. So. The Bangladesh Premier League is presently in progress. Okay? The international... Yeah, well, it's the International League T20. 34 matches. January 13th to February 12th.
Is that just the title of another
of
set of T20s? I would like to know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know anything much about it. It just came up like it just shoot up out of the ground.
Yeah. 34 T20 matches, January 13th to February 12th. And I believe this is going to be in Dubai.
The International
in the Dubai International Cricket Stadium in Dubai. And then the Sheikh Zayed Stadium in Abu Dhabi. And then the other one is the Dubai, okay. Yes. The Shaha Cricket Stadium in Sharjah. But I'm saying this to say, all these matches and a number of West Indians are involved. It leaves now a vacuum in our tournament in the Caribbean. In other words, we have some players, some young players who are looking for match practice against the seniors. Should we still have a tournament, even if it's one or two tournaments? And last week we did not discuss the new format that is going to be taking place in the West Indies. So anybody wants to talk about what's going to happen with those three? They have the tri series playing three matches, and then they get the regular 50 overs. Is it the 50 overs? Yes, they're going to take pick the team from the 50 overs, and then one from, you're going to have three teams, the one from the academy and two other teams. So anybody want to discuss that? What effect would these tournaments abroad have on West Indies cricket in proper? Because you notice we have 9 players from one tournament, then the IPL coming up shortly. Although the IPL wouldn't affect it so much, but the other tournaments, the Bangladesh, the international tournament, and so forth, all over the world. Anybody want to think these will affect West Indies cricket? Because a lot of players are not being picked in South Africa. A lot of players are not picked in the Bangladesh. In the Dubai, and then they have the T10 coming up too. Goodness, I can't keep up with this. Can you, anybody, just give us an idea what they think? What the way cricket is going?
I'm telling you right now, Leon, my brain is oversaturated with cricket. Yeah. I just let some go by. Just allow it to slip by now.
But the only thing I'm saying is the West Indies is left behind. Left behind because we're not playing the cricket in the Caribbean. One tournament going on in
Antigua
right now.
When it comes to T20, we are very limited where that is concerned because of our contract that we signed with the CPL. So there isn't much we can do where the T20s are concerned. Like the 50 overs and the 3-4-day matches, then we could do that.
Why can't they do the 10? The 10-10? Because that's
10-10. Antigua is
going on over there in Antigua.
Yes. We're going to get this closed next week. I want to get one match. One match I got and I didn't... go ahead. Yeah, well, they should have a T10 among the... That can be arranged.
Since they cannot do any 20 because of the contract, 50-year contract that they signed over there.
Mm-hmm. 50 years, they say? We're not going to be wrong.
Yeah, go ahead and organize a T10 tournament amongst the...
Exactly.
Island.
Yeah.
There's some
functions. Yeah, they should have something to, yeah. And let the youngsters play. You never know who will shine. Because Shane DePaul, he's doing well, but
Leon, I guess they are looking and say, look, all the big name players are playing abroad, so they wouldn't be drawing any crowd to play. I'm just saying that's my opinion.
When they
start, maybe that's what they're looking at.
But then, oddly,
then I join the T20 CPL, yeah, does,
but the CPL has international stars there too, but you know. But I think they should have organized something. Let them youngsters go out and compete. You never know who will come through. Because most of these guys gone to Bangladesh, gone to the Saudi Arabia, or wherever they gone to. Well, don't envy them. But
Leon,
Leon,
a question for you. Mm-hmm. Which format are you thinking they should organize back home, dare I say, back home in the Caribbean?
T10, because like we said here, you heard it here, the T10. If you have company,
Let's be realistic. Audley has just said he's saturated, his brain is saturated. And I think he speaks for many when he made that statement. We have IPL, the United International League, you've got the Bangladesh League, you've got the South Africa League, you've got the Big Bash League, you've got the Super Smash, in a couple of, you know,
and nothing is
so
wrong with that, you know, nothing is wrong, but I think you missed the point,
I'm not saying they shouldn't be,
West Indies youngsters are not getting the opportunity to be in these tournaments. Simple as that. We are not reproducing no players, no Gales, no thing. You know, hearing about Lewis and so.
Leon, my point, and you misunderstand my point. My point being, with all of these T20 series, we have enough West Indians littered in all of them, which suggests on paper, West Indies should never really have a need at this moment to be thinking in terms of we don't have a full team and watch our
Dennis, what I'm saying, we need to groom cricketers. These guys are abroad, not going to last forever. We want to see youngsters get involved into the competition. And even some of the guys who may not have made the cut, put them in here and give them an opportunity to develop themselves in a competition. They may be playing in domestic home, at their home, but they need competition. You have players in the Wind with Alger, players in Jamaica who may not have made the cut. And even some of the guys who are test players, like the two players from Jamaica, they're not getting a contract abroad, but they might be able to come and lead the side. That's all I'm saying. Get them involved. But let's do this. Let's call in Jasper for a little bit. And then we'll come up. Jasper, come on in. They want to know about the women's T20 or the 19 and the Women's World Cup. How is USA shaping up? Jasper, come in.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah. Good evening,
Happy
everybody.
New Year to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, good evening.
Happy New Year to all of you. Yes. What was the question again?
The question about the USA shaping up in terms of the under 19, which is coming up in a few days' time, and the upcoming World Cup, Women's World Cup, coming up in less than 2 weeks.
Less than 2 weeks, yeah. I don't remember the date now, but yeah, it should be coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks, and I hope our team does good performance. We are hoping
mm-hmm.
for that, and same with the T20.
The question is: are there any players that you would like, any standout because I know you are involved with the US team somewhat. Are there any under 19s? Are there any standout players that you would say look out for such and such players?
I Yes, I believe so.
No name.
But can you bring them out for us if you can? Highlight them. Let us know who to look forward to see. Or to
look forward to see.
Oh.
Yes.
She wasn't prepared.
You weren't prepared, no? Okay. But we're glad to have you, though, Jessna. Listen on as we go on. So we were talking about the question whether or not this West Indies is depleted. Because, look, most other countries are having tournaments and their players are being involved. Be they in the team or they are watching the tournament. Most of the matches, the West Indies players aren't watching them, too. But get them involved, you know. We have a little tournament in Antigua, but I can only absorb a limited amount of players from the Leeward Islands. What about the Windwards, Jamaica, Trinidad, Barbados, and Guyana? They can have the under 10, T10, or if you want to make it T15, if you want to go a little longer, as well as, you know, as long as you don't go to T20. I don't know if the contract forbids them from doing that. But all we want to see these girls and boys that are young, have not entered the team international level, get some closure. That is my question. Or else, if no one wants to touch that topic, well, Simon, you have a question that is bothering you today that you want to put it to us? We have a little time left. Simon, 1, 2, 3. Oh. Simon,
I'm listening. No,
yeah,
I'm
asking
quite
you,
okay.
Anything on your mind that you want us to touch before we say goodbye?
No, I'm listening. Everything is quite clear with me. Thank you so much.
Leon,
okay.
we had a question earlier about who the Women's World Cup winners were last year. It was Australia.
Yes. Australia. Mm-hmm.
They beat India?
Was it India they beat? Yes, I think it was.
Yes, they beat India.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it looks set to beat India again? or somebody going to throw them?
Well, I don't,
you'd have to call,
I don't
you'd
know.
Have to call Jen out of retirement, man.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
So here's where we break. We say goodbye to the folks and ask Jetna as the late. The last shall be the first. Jetna, say goodbye to all your fans and well wishes and Happy New Year and wish them well. We come to the end of another wonderful show, Jasna. She's gone, leave us. Yeah, say goodbye to all your fans around India.
Oh, good night, everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See you next week. It was a great show again. Sorry I was late to attend.
Yeah, but
very
better
late
than never. We love to have you on every week, but I know how it is. Life is like that, eh? How about you, Donna? Why don't you say farewell to all your friends? Time is limited. We had too much to talk about and too little time. Donna?
Okay, so as you tell, very good show. I enjoyed what I heard tonight. Have a good week all.
Indeed. Thank you for your presence. Mm-hmm. Thanks for your participation. And good luck. Hope your mama lives to see another 10 years, 20 years when the Lord provides for her. Okay. How about you, Mr. McKen? Oh, Mr. McKenzie has left us too, right? He's gone to bed. And Jason has gone to... Virgil, take it away.
Yeah, good night to all the panelists and good night to all the listeners all over the world. I'm looking forward for another show again next week. Thank you and good night.
Okay. I don't know if Murchis is up yet, but don't you go away, then, Virgil. I have a song lineup for you. Merchant, your farewell to the fans.
One, and it was a great show. And see you next week on the radio.
Thank you so much. Okay. Ivor, why don't you pick it up? Ivor?
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I'll go just before Audley and give him enough time to give us a quote.
Yes.
Very good question there, Leanne, for the listeners out there and for even us here. The penalty ones, a lot of folks don't know that. 5 runs awarded to the team, and in case of an infringement, let's not mix up with the one shot when you hit the same shoulder.
Yeah.
Once you're signaling to the score, you cross your arm onto the shoulder. If you tap the shoulder, that means you're awarding 5 penalty points to the batting team. If you just rest your hand on that shoulder, it means
You got to repeat that again. Repeat it again, because the fans want to hear that. And the listeners, that is important.
All right, penalty ones is 5-1, but it could be awarded to either side, whether the batting team or the fielding team. Mm-hmm. The umpire would force his hand to the opposing shoulder, mm-hmm. rest it under. Mm-hmm. If you leave it rested, it means the runs would be awarded to the fielding team. If it taps the shoulder, the batting team gets five points,
extra points. Well said, sir.
All right.
Well said. Well, clear. Thanks, man. Thanks for the clarification. And now
we
know.
That's why we're here. Nobody beats this.
That's why we know we're here. Who else? How about you, Audley? And then Dennis, and then...
Okay.
We have a song lineup for...
Yes, so, yes, and I enjoy being here today. As I say, look, my brain start to explode, like, you know, overclogged with the amount of cricket and something. But I'm happy to be here and enjoy the conversation that we have had. Just a quote as you go through the week, knowledge is like tree. So I say, if you do not plant knowledge when you are young, it will give us no shade when we are old, right? So just like a tree, you plant a tree young, and when you get old, that knowledge of plant will give you shade. So just a reminder to Mr. McKenzie, keep on using your walker. Don't use your cane, because you know what Cain did to his brother Abel. All right. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Next week, God willing, we'll talk again.
Dennis, 2 minutes. Not even two
all
minutes.
All right.
1.5 minutes.
Well, thank you. All right. Thank you all for listening. We are today, Sundays, it's the cricket show. On Saturdays, don't forget, it's the Saturday morning entertainment show at the blogtalkradio.com, Caribbean Global Voices at 563-999-3693. They are the most...
Yes.
Entertaining show on a Saturday morning while you're
on the earth.
Shopping, you're walking, and you're running. Join
yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Time is 6. Oh, my apologies. I'm 9 o'clock till now on a Saturday.
3 minutes before 9 o'clock, according to my watch. Thank you so much, Dennis, everybody. It was a wonderful show. I enjoyed it, and we learned so much tonight that is not funny. We should have many more of these. And we're grateful for all the participants for their input. And Simon, although you left us, we are grateful for you as well. Good night, all.
Vivi is the name. Cricket is the game, but I don't know how he could play cricket so. But his batting, bowling, feeling, catching is breathtaking. Sometimes I just wonder if he's a next lover's in the making. That man Richard could really bat. It's something to see him and the attack. Plundering bowlers again and again. It's remarkable how he does dictate the game. Holds a terror for Vivi and Richard. Not Thompson, not Lily, not Lady Nash and Azika. Perfect coordination of body and mind. That brother is really dynamite. Space a spin. He ain't give a front where you're bowling him. Faster slowly, you're going back to the boundary. When the bowling tight, if you see the man, he has a defense no bowler can penny shred. Yet still he can score his runs as freely as he will. He could beat the tightest field with sheer technical skill. When that man drives you, he scores the deal and leave the mid on standing still. His breathless leg cut right off the stump. So many times I've left commentators dumb. No bowler holds a terror for Vivi and Richard. Not Thompson, not Lily, not Baby, not Shanda Seca.
perfect coordination of body and mind. That brother is really dynamite. They fast him, he don't give a front for you bowling him. Pass up slowly, you're going back to the boundary. England, here they come, this hunk of a man, this classical player and his fellow Antiguan, and the Robert Redkin have back once again in your country. Vivian Richard Redkin bowlers boundary after boundary. Watch the scoreboard ticking on. When Vivian bats him, the machine must run, and people applauding for runs like run. And another splendid Richard century again. No bowler holds a terror for Vivian Richard, not Thompson, not Lily, not Daly, not Shandasika. Perfect coordination of body and mind. That brother is really dynamite. Pace and spin, he don't give a front for you bowling him. Fast and slowly, you're going back to the boundary, Andy.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Have a pleasant evening.
Okay.
Take care.